Well, first, I mean, when you talk about adversity, what he had to go through when he first started his NBA career, with the foot injuries he had to continue to go through and the foot surgeries he had to go through, being that size, and at some point thinking to himself he would never be able to play a game. And to see him get all the way back to him becoming an all-star while I was here, you know, being the impact player he was, we had a heck of chemistry with our pick and pop. And we talk about seven-footer shooting threes. We talk about that now with like guys like Porzingis and, you know, and all those guys. Z was doing it back when we played. You know, he started to step out of his range too and hit some. I can remember one of them, he had a big three in Sacramento on one of our road games from the right corner that sealed the game for us. So, multi-talented guy, but an even greater person to be around every day. Came to work every day, showed up every day. And he gave everything he could to this franchise and to the Heat franchise that he played for a full year.
We now return backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards from the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel. Once again, Mike Snyder and Nick Camino on WTAM 1100.
We are backstage at the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel. The award ceremony is going to be getting started shortly. Mike Snyder alongside. And Mike, that memory of LeBron rehashing everything with Zydrunas Ilgauskas. He's got that impeccable memory, which is crazy. You remember that game, that game where Z hit a three in Sacramento. That was pretty cool. But you can just tell there's so much respect between those two guys. And I remember some of the big shots that LeBron hit. Z would be the first guy he hugged going to the final. I mean, they really had a friendship. But yeah, they still have a friendship.
That's a great point, Nick. When they won the Eastern Conference, that was the first hug there. Embrace was between Z and LeBron. And LeBron immediately respected Z as he came to the Cavaliers, the professionalism of Zydrunas, and they really did have a bond together. And I think that you could tell that it still exists to this day.
If you're just joining us for the first time tonight, yeah, we are at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards in downtown Cleveland at the Renaissance Hotel. We're talking about Zydrunas Ilgauskas a lot because tonight he's going to be given the Lifetime Achievement Award. And Mike, that's an award that means a lot more than what you're doing on the court and what you're doing on a field. There's been some great people that have won that award over the years, but this is really something, a person that epitomizes Cleveland, somebody that has embraced this town. There's a lot more that goes into that just than what you're doing on X's and O's wise on a field or a court, right?
Absolutely. That, I think that the history of that award shows that. And Z is that. He is that great family man now as he's continues to live in this area. This is his home right now. So it's great that he's being honored this way tonight.
All right, we are going to go to the ceremony right now, the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. Take a listen.
ESPN correspondent has been on the sidelines since 2002, covering some of college football's biggest games, including the Rose Bowl and National Championship. He also is an interviewer for ESPN's golf coverage of the Masters and has interviewed some of the biggest names in sports. His illustrious career includes 12 Emmy Awards as well as 6 National Edward R. Murrow Awards recognizing outstanding work produced by radio, television, and digital news organizations around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome tonight's MC, Mr. Tom Rinaldi.
Good to see an old friend right there in Tito. What an honor and a pleasure to be here in Cleveland for the 18th staging of this fantastic night where we celebrate great moments, great athletes, great coaches, great teams, and great seasons. I want to begin by saying that I'm violating an ancient and steady cliche in sport, which is never be the man that follows the man. Unfortunately, that's the role I'm cast in tonight. Is it table 77, perhaps, or 75? Yes, Jay Crawford, would you stand up, please? (Clears throat) Jay dared me to do that, but I know he was an absolutely drop-dead success here, so I'll do the best I can, Jay, I promise you. I do a number of things for ESPN, but essentially I won the lottery. I have the greatest gig imaginable. I get to cover college football, golf, tennis, the NBA. I get to tell human interest stories across all sport. And I have the country as a canvas. It's a fantastic gig because there's a magic in sport. I realized by coming here to Cleveland, I'm talking to a group very rich in history and heritage and heartache. I understand that. The man that picked me up at the airport yesterday, Ed, knows the exact day he moved to Cleveland, January 4th, 1990. He knows the exact date in April that he bought season tickets in 1999 to the Cleveland Browns. At the end of this season, he and his three buddies looked at each other and they had to make a decision. Are we going to renew our season tickets? The three men looked at Ed. Ed looked back at them. He was surprised that it was even a question. And so finally, after an awkward pause, Ed said, "It can only get better." Access and discovery. These are two of the greatest things that I'm able to traffic in my role at ESPN. Access and discovery. This is a town that knows a little something about a bad beat, that knows something about a difficult loss, also knows something about the perseverance and resilience to get to the brilliance of a great win. The last event that I covered was the national championship in college football in Atlanta. I was assigned to the Alabama sideline for the telecast, which means that I was the guy that had to stop Nick Saban on his way into the locker room. The Tide was losing 13-0. I am proud, if nothing more, than standing before you having say, "I am a survivor." Saban gave a slight hint that maybe they'd make a change, and if you follow college football or watch the game, you know, he inserted a true freshman, Tua, from Hawaii. Ultimately, in an incredibly dramatic moment, the Tide won the game in overtime. Access and discovery. Well over an hour after the game was concluded, I made my way to the Georgia locker room. I've known Kirby Smart, Saban's assistant, for his entire time at Alabama. His team lost in a dramatic way on a 42-yard bomb from a true freshman. I said to Kirby, "How do you move forward from this?" If this isn't a room that can appreciate what Kirby Smart said. 75 minutes, maybe 80 at the most prior, his team had lost the national championship. His answer was instantaneous. He took his hand out and he put his two fingers this distance apart. And he said, "Inches. We were inches away." And you know the great news, Tom, the great thing? The inches are everywhere. In everyone. They can be found every day. It's just inches. And as I stand here and look at you, I swear, between now and when we kick off next season, we're going to find those inches. Right away, that was his message. When we talk about what brings us together here tonight, the spirit of sport in this region, in this city, I ask you, as you leave tonight, where are the inches that you can find in everything that you do, knowing that they are out there every day, that they can be found everywhere? That's a national story. How about a regional story? Again, college football, if you'll indulge me. The first college football playoff, Ohio State played Oregon for the title. I was embedded with the Buckeyes. Their very first meeting of game week is a special teams meeting. Urban Meyer asked me to come in without a camera, sit in on the meeting, and tell him what I thought of what they decided to do. The meeting began with every player being handed a box, approximately the size of a cigar box. That's it. On the lid was a helmet stripe and a couple of Buckeye leaves. Staff members handed out the boxes, and then Urban went to the front of the room. He asked every player to open the box. What do you think was inside? Nothing. Then Meyer told every player in the room, what I want you to do is I want you to go home tonight and put something in the box, something that helps you solve the mystery. What does that mean? What is the mystery? Solve the mystery. And then Meyer said, raise your hand if you had a bad father. And Meyer raised his hand. And he said, not because I didn't have a great dad. My dad was great, because I've been a bad father, because I couldn't solve the mystery. Next thing he said, know those five-star hotshots that came in and now they're no longer with the program because they didn't want to believe in team? They couldn't solve the mystery. And then he saved it and said, why does one player make a play? Why does one team win a game? Why does one group win a championship when another doesn't? They have good players, we have good players. They have good coaches, we have good coaches. They have scheme, we have scheme. One group knows how to solve the mystery. What is the mystery? And a player stands up. Meyer calls on him. How do you solve the mystery? And the player says, by learning to put something before yourself. Meyer nods. The player sits down. And Meyer says, so go home tonight and put something in your box that helps you solve the mystery. It's December in Ohio. There's snow on the ground. Several players go and dig through the snow. They dig out blades of grass with the hope that they might be able to get the first home in the history of their family. Others write a number on a piece of paper from a teammate who didn't make it to where they've made it to. Others took pictures of family members, things that were not necessarily about them, and put them in their box. Everybody brought the box back the next day. The boxes were shipped to North Texas. The day of the game, all those players get the box back. Meyer's last full meeting before they board the buses to ride to the game. Go ahead. Open your box. All the players open the boxes because they've been distributed in every position meeting at the start of the week. Players find laminated pictures inside their boxes. Players making plays throughout the season. Tight shots showing strain and effort. And then wait for it. Meyer says, hold up the picture of yourself and show it to the room. And there's a silence, and the players are digging through their boxes. And then Meyer thunders at his team. What are you looking for? There is no picture of yourself. It's not about you. It's about serving something greater than yourself. And the players begin to realize that those pictures that the staff stayed up late to cut out and laminate, are either the players that they've roomed with or that are part of their recruiting class or that are part of their position unit. Not a single player had a picture of himself. The Buckeyes blow out Oregon. They win the national championship. I'm the guy from Jersey with the bad haircut running after him to do the interview at midfield. Coach, what did you learn about your team tonight? It's what they learned. They learned to solve the mystery. His first answer. That's about the state and the region. One last story about this city. I'm often asked, what's the favorite story you've had a chance to tell? I tell human interest stories, as I mentioned, across all sport. That's like being asked to pick a favorite child, truthfully. But one of my favorite stories that I'd count on this one hand is a Cleveland story that I think a lot of people in this room know. And it involves two athletes, neither of whom will ever play for pay. Two wrestlers at Lincoln West High School in Cleveland. Leroy Sutton and D'Artagnan Crockett. Leroy, as a boy, is a victim of a bizarre and terrible train accident. As he's walking to school, a loop of his backpack gets pulled underneath a train as he's walking alongside, and he gets pushed underneath the train, and he loses one leg below the knee and another leg above the knee. What's the only sports he can compete in as somebody with no power above the waist? He lifts weights, and he discovers wrestling. In high school, upperclassman, he moves to Cleveland. He joins the wrestling team. The only teammate strong enough to deal with Leroy is D'Artagnan. Strongest kid on the team. The only kid who's able to wrestle with him in practice. But the thing about D'Artagnan is he's legally blind. He has no steady place to call home. And ultimately, because they're the two strongest kids who can practice with one another, they form a bond. And the bond manifests in a photo that a local paper snaps. And the photo is the legally blind wrestler carrying the wrestler who doesn't have any legs over to the mat to put him down so he can compete. Every time one competes, the other is at the edge of the mat. Every time one wins, the other is there to celebrate. Every time one loses, the other is there to console him. They become inseparable. The producer who tells the story, Cleveland native Lisa Fenn, who would go on to write a book about their story called Carry On, essentially becomes their mom. Takes care of all the things that are not being taken care of in their lives. We tell their story. At the end of the story, we mention each of these two athletes aspire to go to college, but neither can afford it. ESPN viewers donate their complete college education. Four people step forward, and it's completely paid for. Lisa Fenn organizes a trust for their education. D'Artagnan was a medalist in the 2012 Paralympics in judo. Leroy is a video game designer for EA Sports. When that piece aired, one of the first phone calls we got was from Pete Carroll. Is there a way to get these two boys out to Seattle? Why, coach? Because I want our team to learn what being a teammate is about. You know what else they would have learned? That is what Cleveland is about. I learned that a long time ago. Yes, there are legends who perform. We're going to see some of them. We're going to give out wonderful awards tonight. We're going to celebrate the spirit that is sport. But please, let's never forget its magic, its ability to unify and thrill, its ability to teach and inspire, its ability to bring us together at a time when so much seems to push us apart. Having said that, before we begin to hand out these awards, I have an award to present. A prize, if you will. I work for College Game Day. I have a trivia question for this room of 1,300 supposed sports fans. This should be the ultimate no-brainer. Easy, easy. However, if it touches a nerve, I apologize in advance. We will have microphones. I will pick whatever the first hand is that I see that goes up. Of course, if you're wrong, you merely risk the humiliation of 1,300 people seeing you get it wrong. No pressure. Our prizes, we'd love to have you come out to College Game Day. We'd like to give you a VIP behind the scenes, put you in the truck, hang out in the VIP, bring you up on the set, take a few photos, and maybe get you a couple of tickets to the game. You have to get there yourself, but we'll take your information and we'll make it happen. One disclaimer. If you are affiliated with the Cleveland Indians organization, you may not answer. Raise your hand, august and brave sport fans and minds of Cleveland, if you were at Game 7. Okay? There's a lot of hands up. Everything can teach us a lesson. Everything. One of the greatest games in the history of a sport that's got a very long history. How many emotions did you feel? Did your hopes crest? Did you believe? Were you thrilled? Were you on the edge of your seat? Here is our question. And it's simple. Raise your hand. In one of the classic games of all time that ended a drought longer than Cleveland's. Who scored the winning run? Hold on. Moving on. Who scored the winning? No phones on your honor. Right there, sir. Rizzo. Stand up for us. Stand up. Do we have anybody up top, maybe? No phones now. No phones. Right there. Stand up. Ben Zobrist. Tito. That's wrong. We are 0 for 2. Tito, 3 strikes and you're out, my brother. Am I right? Only one more chance. No phones. Up. Stand up, sir. Here we go. Chris Bryant. We truly do have nowhere to go tonight but up. Wow. Stop. 3 strikes and you're out. Here is the lesson. With Tito as my witness, every player on the roster matters. The star, the late season call-up, the pinch runner. Who is it? Oh, my goodness. This is an indictment of this room. This is awful. What has gone wrong? Tito. He did. He ran for Schwarber. Albert Almora Jr. Wow. We have nowhere to go but up. All right, I'll tell you that, guys. We're going to have a great night tonight. We might have another trivia one for you. Let's begin by giving out some hardware and some awards, okay?
News Radio WTAM 1100, Cleveland. An iHeart Radio station. We now return backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards from the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel. Once again, Mike Snyder and Nick Camino on WTAM 1100.
All right, as promised, as we continue along tonight, the 18th Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. Mike Snyder is here with me, and we're joined by Tom Withers of the Associated Press. Earlier this evening, Tom, we had a chance to catch up with Crazy Dennis Maniloff, who you know, and he told us that the very first one of these, it was just you and him. None of this, what we see
honest
here tonight.
To God. We were like at card tables with folding chairs and pretzel bags.
So it's grown.
It's grown. I mean, it's unbelievable now. I feel like I'm at the Grammys or something, right? it's been interesting, and it's kind of I said it's parallel LeBron's career, and both things have gotten better through time, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have. I mean, gosh, what he's doing into his 15th year, and we'll get into some of that as we're going to reflect on the year that was 2017. Tom, as we come here tonight, though, I was telling Mike earlier, I think that and Mike knows this, the special thing about this is you do get the pro sports franchises. The Browns are behind it, the Cavs, the Indians, but, man, so much with the collegiate athletes, the high school athletes. Your son played high school football. I mean, it's so big around here. I mean, from pro to high school, everything in between, Olympic athletes, it's really a culmination of everything Cleveland.
That's the best thing to me, Michael, about this event is that they incorporate everybody here, right? We know what prep sports means to Nick's point in Northeast Ohio. You know, it runs through families, right? It courses through generations. Yeah, so it's nice to see a night where you have Joe Thomas and Bernie Kosar, you know, mingling with, you know, wrestlers from Wadsworth and football players from Elyria. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah,
it is. They're all in the same group as the pro athletes, the high school finalists. You're in there with Corey Kluber, LeBron James, Jose Ramirez, Joe Thomas.
And the great thing, too, is those pro athletes then can reflect back on where they were in 10th and 11th and 12th grade and, you know, the course of their careers and the trajectory.
The unique thing about you is with the Associated Press, you cover all three of these big sports teams.
Don't remind me, Nick.
The Indians, the
Cavs.
No,
it's great. I'm not complaining at all.
I know you are. When you look back on 2017, is there one moment or two moments that really stick out to you as, wow, that's kind of what made 2017 from a pro sports standpoint?
Besides ordering pizza with you in Goodyear, Arizona, you mean?
Yes, that's kind of where it all started. Were we carrying?
Well, that was a low. Well, you guys started. Okay,
we started low,
and then it got better.
Yeah, exactly.
It got better. Exactly.
You know what? What a year, though. I mean, when you think about the fact that we had two playoff teams in town, right? We had an NBA Finals.
Yeah.
We had a 22 game winning streak, and to me, Nick and Mike, that is what I'll remember most from 2017, which is, you know, something that hadn't been done in 100 years, and unfortunately for the Indians, it ended up becoming, you know, the crescendo of the season. You know, we know the way that the playoffs went. And while it was going on, that was my biggest worry, was that winning streak was going to become such a monster and such an entity. And even though the players said, hey, look, we've got bigger goals or what have you, you guys, you were here. You saw how that did. It became a big deal for them. And those guys didn't want to come out of the lineup because they wanted to break that record. So I'll remember that. I'll remember the finals. I'll remember LeBron and what he has done and what he has continued to do, which is take a career that we all thought would be great and taking it to a level that none of us could have ever imagined.
You know, it is interesting, too, and you tie it to this event, too, Tom, when he was here while he was still in high school and all that was going on then. Oh, there was a lot of stuff going on then, but the career that he has had, it's just, I mean, you knew it was going to be special, but he's just taken it beyond anyone's belief.
And, Michael, it ain't over either.
No, it
is even scarier.
That's the scary.
You know, I've never seen an athlete, and sorry for interrupting you, I've never seen an athlete who has been on just a continued ascension, right? It went from, you know, high school prodigy and cover of Sports Illustrated to rookie of the year to all-star to MVP to world champion to two-time to three-time Olympic, nonstop.
I think Steve Kerr said it to you guys the other day, didn't he, Tom? He said, when's the last time we saw a player into his 15th yeah. season be better than 5 years ago?
Well, and, you know, and then when LeBron a couple weeks ago said, hey, I'm out to break the mold. Well, good God. I mean, he's 33 now. He's the best player on the planet. And I think he's thinking like what Tom Brady thought, which is that I can play until I'm 40 years old.
Why not?
Why not?
And he loves it, and he's a historian. Even talking about Z, he remembered a corner three that Z made against Sacramento.
I remember the corner three against Sacramento. Big
How about
one.
That?
I know. He's
That's
incredible.
That's who he is. This week he's going to go over 30,000 points. Maybe on Saturday, I think, actually.
Maybe tomorrow. He needs 43 and Orlando's in town, Mike.
Yeah. The way things are going, yes, Tom, that's for sure. But it is, and then, you know, you bring it back here. I remember when in those high school days and what he's been able to do and continues to do, and it's far from over. It is amazing. You know, Tom, we celebrate so much here, and you look at the Indian season. That was an incredible streak and the dominance of it. Do you think it did take something out of them?
I do. And none of them would publicly admit that, but I really do. I think, you know, that was a time where guys should have been getting some rest and getting ready for October. Instead, they were parading out pretty much the same nine almost every night, right?
Leading off the Today Show with it. It was like a big story.
Well, it was unprecedented, too.
I was watching CNN, Fox News. They were all leading off with it on news shows. I was like,
and
what?
That's what I was afraid of, was that it would become so big that it would overtake the season. And in many ways, it did. Now, you know, they also had a 2-0 lead on the Yankees in the division series that they let slip away as well. So, but what a great year. You know, we've been so lucky here, guys. And, you know, this does coincide with LeBron to a degree. But to see this Indians team get back to being one of the power players in Major League Baseball has really been fun to see. And it's been great also to see the way Indians fans have come back around, right? I mean, the ballpark is smaller than we knew it in the 90s, right? And they took out some seats, whatever. But those crowds last year, I thought some of them may have been smaller maybe than they should have been, but they were loud and they were engaged all the time.
What is it about Terry Francona, Tom? You and I get a chance to talk with him in spring training a little bit longer sometimes, and you cover him throughout the entire baseball season, but you've covered other managers. You've covered visiting managers with your duty with the Associated Press. You cover all the managers. What is it about Tito that just enables him to get the best out of all his guys?
Well, I don't know, but I think from a personal standpoint, I think he's got that wholesome Midwestern values instilled in him, doesn't he? I mean, his dad played here in Cleveland. They're from Western Pennsylvania, right? he's a down-home guy. He really is. And he just has such a way with people, Nick. You've experienced this, right? I mean, he has a way of just, he makes you feel special when you're around him.
Yeah.
So I can imagine if he does that for media schlubs like us, can you imagine playing for the guy?
Tom will walk in and Tito will be like, what's going on with the Browns?
He loves to talk to me about the Browns and the Cavs because, you know, he's a sports fan.
He is.
And I think that's why he's very relatable to Cleveland fans as well, because he's one of us. He really is. And I think the way he, you know, he's got an unbelievable ability to understand, because he was a player, you know, when a player needs a day off or when a player needs a kick in the butt or when he needs his confidence restored or built up or whatever. And you see that with the way he is able to bring guys, utility guys, off the bench, and then suddenly they produce, right? Or when he gives a star player a couple days off and then they come back and get hot again. So, yeah, we're very lucky to have him here.
We really are. He does say, he just, as you say, he's got a feel for each guy on his team and understands them and knows that each guy is different, and he can be one of them, but yet there's a line there. They know and respect him as the boss. It's so great to have him here. And then the young talent that they brought up, it's just fun to watch this team, and it's really pretty much grown your own.
It's been remarkable the way they've done it. And I know, you know, the Dolans took some criticism over the years for the way they've done it, but you know, when you're in baseball and there is no, you know, there is no such thing as salary cap, and you're trying to outspend the Red Sox and the Indians, and you got to do things creatively, and they've done that.
Yeah, they really have. So now, Mike, you're going to make me ask him about the Browns. That's what we have to end with here. We wanted to hit on all three. We'll get to the Browns here, I guess, Tom. 1-31. It's a historically bad stretch. Mike, we think about those Tampa Bay Buccaneers teams from the 70s. People laughed at the creamsicle uniforms. The Browns have surpassed that. What do you make of really – they're starting here at ground zero, aren't they, Tom?
Yes and no. I mean, they are from the standpoint that they've got to start to learn how to win. In my mind, they should have won 3 or 4 or 5 games this year.
Yes.
I mean, they let a couple get away from them, right? The overtime games, some bad decisions down the stretch of games, you know, mistakes that you would expect a young team to make, they made in crucial spots. So, yeah, Nick, they are at ground zero, but it's not necessarily – they're not in the basement. I mean, they're probably on the second or the third floor. I think there is some talent here
All right.
build with.
Making me feel better.
I was at a parade last week, for God's sake, for 0-16. You know, it was I still can't believe sometimes that it happened. You know, and I know those guys in the locker room. And that's the other thing, too. And, you know, Joe Thomas is presenting tonight, and he's here at the awards. And Joe Schobert, who's another good guy, and – they got a bunch of really good guys in that locker room. And that's, you know, you during the course of a season, you get to know these guys on a personal level to a degree, right? We can only get so close to them. And I really felt bad for these guys this year.
They
took it hard. They really did. And, you know, you get beat on Sunday, right? And they get the 24-hour rule, and then you got to get up again, and then you're game planning for the next week, and then you lose again. And it's got to be demoralizing.
And especially it's football, too, Tom.
That's the other thing, right? Yeah.
You know, baseball, basketball, you can lose 120-90, and you go to the next game. But football, as you say, and then you got to go out there, and it's such a physical game. You
absolutely
get to December.
Yeah.
I really felt for
them.
You're
beaten down. Yeah, to your point, Mike, I mean, look at the Cavs. You know, they get beat by 30 and 40 points on the road last week, but that's almost forgotten about to a degree already, right?
Yeah.
They're able to turn the page quickly. Baseball, it's day-to-day. But, yeah, those football guys, and you're right, Mike, the physical toll, I don't think fans truly appreciate what these guys put their bodies through on a week-to-week basis, right? You know, by the end of the season, half of them can hardly even walk. So, but I do think, you know, there are some positives here, though, Nick. I like John Dorsey. I've heard nothing but great things about him. You know, he comes from that Packer way.
Yeah.
You know, he played the game. He's a football guy. He's going to use a little bit of analytics, but he's not going to base all of his draft picks on analytics. Not to say that that's what's happened the last couple of years, but I think they've got a football guy in place who now he's out at the East-West game this week. He's going to be at the Senior Bowl. He's looking for talent, and he's going to bring it in. And my God, does he have the ammo? I mean, if you're going to be the new GM of a team and you've got the number
picks
one, number four picks and money and salary cap space and all that. So I don't think it's nearly as bleak maybe as sometimes we think it is.
Yeah, that's good. That's a refreshing take on the Browns.
That's hope that we have to – just give us hope. You know, Tom, for years, I wondered if we'd ever see a championship. And then 2016 came along.
And then you got greedy,
did,
Michael.
And but I'm just saying, I go back, and we loved our teams.
Yep.
The Indians of the 90s were incredible, a great team to love. The Browns gave us so many thrills in the 80s. And the Cavs had some years, the Doherty Price years.
Sure.
If you give us some hope
something
going
to grab
season,
onto,
we think we got a shot at winning it.
Well,
now we are. We've all gotten a little greedy. Now, even with the Tribe and the Cavs, it's like, well, you're there, win the whole thing.
I thought this was supposed to be fun.
Which is a good thing. But give you hope. And I think with the Browns now, we're at that point where if we look out there and say, okay, we see something that's building. And then maybe to a point someday, where you say, hey, they got a shot at getting to the playoffs.
Well, I think that was the frustrating thing with Kizer this year, who I thought from week to week gave you hope and then pulled the rug out from underneath you. You know, you thought there were times where he looked like a guy who could finally be the long-term answer at that position. Now I'm not so sure. But, hey, with the number one, number four picks and two in the second round and a whole bunch of money, like you said, Nick, they might be able to turn it around quickly.
Tom, we appreciate you spending some time with us.
My pleasure,
quickly,
guys.
We look ahead to 2018. What's the main thing you're looking at? LeBron and the Cavaliers?
Headed towards another summer.
Here we go.
You know,
next few weeks will be
minute
interesting.
Minute by minute. Next few weeks are very interesting, Mike. You know, and I'm still torn as to what they should do with that Brooklyn pick. You know, and because of the uncertainty with LeBron, that's a real tough one. I think it comes down to Dan Gilbert and how much he wants to invest in this season and how much he's looking at, you know, potentially having to rebuild without a LeBron James. So, and people ask me all the time whether I think he's leaving or not. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't think he knows yet. I really don't. I don't think in his heart of hearts he is, you know, readied himself for the possibility of leaving his hometown for the second time. And I still come back to what he said when he first came back, which was, that was exhausting. I'm never going to do that again. And I do really think that he loves it here. you see how invested he is in Northeast Ohio, in the Akron community, and you know, specifically. And so, yeah, 2018 is going to be all about LeBron again.
Kobe Altman's here tonight. You can ask him what he was going to do with that Brooklyn
pick. I'm going to pin him down in 5 minutes.
There you go. There you go.
Tom, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Tom Withers, Associated Press, longtime sports writer. Love when we can catch up with him. And Mike, he covers them all. Yes, he covers them all.
And sometimes all in the same day.
Yes, all in the same day. That's right. All right, well, we are still backstage here at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. Mike Snyder, Nick Cimino here with you. We'll continue to bring you bits and pieces of the award ceremony that's going on. It's being hosted by Tom Rinaldi from ESPN. He's doing a great job. We're having some fun tonight, and we'll continue along with our backstage guests, the who's who in Cleveland sports. You never know who might stop by. It's News Radio, WTAM 1100. We're also with you on the free iHeartRadio app.
We now return backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards from the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the presenters for tonight's High School Athletes of the Year, presented by University Hospital Sports Medicine, Bernie Kosar and Joe Thomas. Cleveland Browns legend Bernie Kosar quarterbacked the Browns to 5 playoff appearances, including 3 trips to the AFC Championship game. Veteran offensive lineman for the Cleveland Browns, Thomas was named to the Pro Bowl in each of his first 10 years in the league. In September, Joe became the first player in NFL history to play 10,000 consecutive snaps.
We had a chance to chat backstage. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. Bernie, give us one moment. Joe, in case people didn't hear that, 10,000 snaps. Before we ask Joe about it, let's take a look at a video that shows how people appreciate that accomplishment. Play.
Congratulations, my man. 10,000 snaps, that's impossible, but you did it. Cleveland loves you. Much respect.
Congrats, Joe, on 10,000 snaps. I think it's really commendable for the level of sacrifice you give to your teammates and your team. It's a truly impressive thing to be able to put that many games together, that many plays together. I know I definitely have always looked up to you, and you're an incredible player, and you're an even better person.
Joe, playing with you was an absolute honor. You're one of those guys that I take pride in telling my children I got to play with you. From the day you entered the league, from turning down, going to the draft, to just go fishing with your family and your friends, you've never forgotten your roots. You're a hard-working dude, and it shows up by how you play the game.
A special award for Joe from the Cleveland, the 18th Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. I'm going to put that right there, Joe, for you. If anyone hasn't had the opportunity to see the wonderful profile, I'll plug our company here for a second, that E60 did with Jeremy Schapp on Joe, you just get to see, it's a wonderful look at Joe's personality and nature. 10,000 snaps. What do you remember about the first one?
I can't even say that I really remember the first snap, to be honest. I remember it was against the Steelers, against James Harrison, who was really at the beginning of his career at that time, too. So it was a game I look back on fondly, but I don't remember a lot because everything was over my head and I was just swimming most of the game.
Bernie, you handled it very well.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Bernie, the connection between a lineman and a quarterback, in particular the position that Joe plays, we might think we understand it. You're someone who has a far greater knowledge. How would you explain it?
Well, I think one of the first blessings that I've had is Gary Danielson was my mentor and my first roommate. After Gary retired, I then started basically rooming with my roommates who were offensive linemen. So Paul Farron was our left tackle back then. And it sounds cliche-ish to say this, But you really are, as a quarterback, the victim or beneficiary of the guys around you. Just like I think we all are here tonight, that all that's gone into this beautiful event. And linemen sometimes don't get the credit unless they've done something wrong. And the amount of thinking that linemen have to do, I think, goes unnoticed. We were talking backstage about the intelligence level that you need to be able to think on your feet because of guys like me who changed the play so late, banking on guys like Joe that understand the cryptic language that we're speaking under the heat of battle with 100,000 people screaming, with your body not being as physically fit as you want from you being hit like that. And it's a bond and a feeling and a relationships that really lasts a lifetime. They reside, resonate within me still to this day, and except for maybe my four children, some of the best memories of my life.
Joe, one of the things that separates, I think, Cleveland from a lot of other cities in terms of their sporting identity is loyalty. You have embodied that as much as any athlete that's really ever played here. In the midst of what was clearly a very challenging and disappointing season, give us your sense of hope moving forward and why that loyalty's endured.
Well, I learned loyalty at a very young age from my parents, and in times when I maybe didn't even realize it was happening, it became so much a part of who I was and who I have been as a professional that's really the only thing that you can say is what sometimes has kept me in the moment that I've been in.
It's almost part of Joe, not to speak for you, but I know for myself, it's almost becomes part of our DNA, part of our genetics. I mean, the core, not to get over spiritual on everybody, but the loyalty, respect, admiration as something that becomes part of your soul, part of your spirit. That's what I think the beauty of our area, the beauty of our game, to be blessed to be able to do things that really you dream about as a little boy.
Among the most awarded athletes that we'll have up here tonight, you guys have some work to do to give out your own hardware. I'll leave you to it.
Thank you.
Hey,
before we get started... Thanks. Before we get started on the awards, you know, talking about loyalty and friendship, as I get older, I think I appreciate more of the things that I've been blessed in life. And, you know, to be here today with Greg Skoda and Pat Mullen, for me to actually like my accountants is a rarity in itself. But we go through peaks and valleys. A good friend of mine has a roller coaster that he says, and you don't want to get too high on your highs and too low on your lows. But in tough times is when we really find out who our friends are. And guys like Pat and Greg at Skoda Minotti, John Scorey's here sitting right next to me from CIC. I mean, there's so many other friends here that it'd be too numerous to name. But for the younger people here, these are relationships that last a lifetime and friendships that last a lifetime. So it's something that I really cherish and I'm really proud of. And it's ironic that me and Joe are giving out kind of the high school awards because the younger people, you have an opportunity with your life in front of you. And if I could challenge any of you to keep this in mind, doing your best at your age is easier said than done. And I think sometimes it's better to go for it. Try for your dreams. Give it all you got. And sometimes it won't work out. But if you tried your best and did your best, you could look yourself in the mirror the next day and know you did everything possible and you won't have any regrets. I think the regret or the sin is in not trying because you may fail. And I've had opportunities, Joe's had plenty too, during those 10,000 snaps or he's laying on the ground and the body doesn't really want to get up. But you get up, you fight through it, and you never quit. And if you do your best, you'll feel good about yourself. I think you'll be a better person in society and within yourself. Go for it, Joe.
All right. Thanks, Bernie. The High School Athletes of the Year Awards presented by University Hospitals Sports Medicine are awarded to the male and female high school athletes who have most distinguished themselves through athletic excellence during the past year or athletic season and are in good academic standing. This year's finalists for the Male Award are
Joey Boffman, football, Wadsworth High School. Ronald Lee, football, Euclid High School. Tyreek Smith, football, Cleveland Heights High School.
Okay, three fantastic choices. And the winner is, from Wadsworth High School, Joey Boffman.
2017 Ohio Mr. Football, Joey Boffman was also named AP All-Northeast Inland District and All-Ohio Division I First Team Offense. The quarterback led Wadsworth to an undefeated regular season and a Suburban League Championship. Boffman threw for 3,079 yards with 36 touchdowns, while also rushing for 1,523 yards with 20 touchdowns.
We didn't even talk about how good your wrestling is, man, huh? Congrats to you, man. I'm glad I met Sean.
Stay up here.
And the finalists for the Female High School Athlete of the Year Award are Naz Hillman, basketball, Gilmore Academy.
Hey, Matt.
Olivia Howell, track and field and cross country, Solon High School. Shannon Williams, volleyball, Brecksville Broadview Heights High School.
And the award goes to Shannon Williams, Brecksville Broadview Heights High School.
The 2016 Gatorade Ohio Volleyball Player of the Year and Division I State Champion. Williams returned for a stellar senior season in 2017, totaling 1,069 assists, 20 aces, 226 digs, and 96 kills. The Bees went 21-6 and 14-0 in conference play this season. Congratulations to both of our award recipients this evening.
WTAM 1100. News at the top of the hour and 30 minutes past. From the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards at the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel, here are Mike Snyder and Nick Camino on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Mike, I can't believe that it is the 18th Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. We talked to Dennis Maniloff earlier, who's been at all of these, but now that we're sitting here and we've entered into 2018, and next year will be 19, and then the 20th, time just flies.
It does go by. And we're only about 28 days from spring training, right?
Yeah. Is that right? Somebody who knows that as well as anybody is joining us now.
Pitchers and catchers.
Pitchers and catchers. And we have one of those catchers, as it is Tribe catcher Roberto Perez. Roberto, it's great to see you tonight.
Great to see you guys, too.
Are you counting down like we are? I mean, we're 28 days we got into. What else? We talked about 79 days until the home opener. Do you do those countdowns in your head, or you just stay day to day?
Yeah, I have a mark on my calendar. No, but I'm very excited. I can't wait, you know, to get started. I think kind of coming from last year, we had a great season, and hopefully we continue to do these in 2018.
We all know you wanted it to go a little longer, and it didn't, but it was a heck of a season, Roberto. When you look back at it, was there one moment for you that you look back at the most specific? Was it during the winning streak? What do you recall the most from last season?
I think on that streak, I think every win was something special. I think we never thought about the winning streak. I think we just play the game the right way every single day. We have so many young guys that are talented and they're ready to compete. And man, I was proud of them, and I can't wait to see them in 2 weeks or so.
It was something. It really was. It was a lot of fun. You know, now you get away from the off season. Now here we are in January, though. How has it worked for you? I heard Tito say now he's recharged. Are you at that mode, or do you kind of ramp it up a little bit more? How do you go about your offseason?
When we got eliminated from the playoff, I took 2 weeks off to kind of refresh everything and spend time with my family. I went down to Puerto Rico to visit my family after the hurricane. Kind of like took my mind off of baseball. But then after that, those 2 weeks, I came back, and I live here now and went back to work. I think we have some unfinished business to do, and I was just trying to get better.
Is that kind of the theme that you think that will be kind of guiding this team throughout the season, that unfinished business? There's more to do. There's more to prove. You guys are better than what you showed, maybe.
I think so. I think we just got to get better, a little bit better. I think every year is different. We have the team to do it. The one good thing we have is we believe in each other, you know. And it doesn't matter whether I'm catching, Johnny's catching, you know. It's like whoever is playing, you know, do their job and let's go. We, like I said, you know, we have a great team. I know we're gonna miss Carlos and Brian Shaw. They were two guys that were part of our core. But at the end of the day, this is business, and I mean, we just gotta be ready for spring training.
I wanted to ask you, how excited are you about the games that are going to be played in Puerto Rico? And going back home as you did, it was just I know the brutal hurricane. What did you see when you were there, Roberto? And what are you hoping to see when you go back again? It's rough, isn't it?
It was. I think I went there with 32 days after the hurricane, and it was bad. People with no power, no water. But I just came back a week ago. I was just down there for the in the conference. The press conference for
Paul Dolan, right?
Yes, he was down there,
yeah.
For the Puerto Rican series, mm-hmm. Yes. And things are getting better. I think you see people now getting their power back. You know, water. You know, there's still people missing. You know,
wow.
Water and power. But like I always say, Puerto Rican people are so resilient, man. You see, you see people, you know, washing their clothes in the river, and you know they're always trying to get it together. And I mean, it was a good experience going down there and live it, you know, with my own eyes. But at the same time, it sucks, man. I don't wish that to anybody.
Well, hopefully when you're there in April, and that things will be taking the next step to getting better, and that'll be very exciting for that two-game series, won't it?
Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm already thinking about it, and the season hasn't started.
You and Frankie are going to be extra excited out there.
Oh, man. I've been telling a lot of people that I'm going to play for free that whole week because so many tickets that I got to give out. But
I call Mike Segi.
But it's gonna be so special, man. I think I have a lot of family and friends that they cannot, you know, pay for a flight to come see us play. But they're gonna have the opportunity when we go there, and hopefully they enjoy it.
I was gonna say, how much do you think the people of Puerto Rico are looking forward to two Major League Baseball teams, and we're talking two playoff teams? It's the Twins you guys are playing. How much do you think they're looking forward to it?
Oh, I think they're looking forward. This event, these games are gonna be so good for the whole island, especially after going through that hurricane. I mean, I have a lot of people already, like random people, asking me for tickets. So I'm sure they're looking forward to it. I think we're looking forward to it. It's like I've talked to Frankie. I don't think those games are for us. I think it's more for the country or for the island. And we're very excited. And I just can't wait to play in front of my family and friends.
You know, Mike, we'll have Total Tribe coverage from spring training. I'll be down there for the first half. Andre Knott will be down there for the second half. And you'll be answering all these questions from us when we're down there. But just for you, from a baseball point of view, what do you look at as a big key for you guys this upcoming year? What do you want to see you guys be able to to do to make sure you are winning the Central Division again, to make sure you guys are consistent as you were last year?
I think, you know, one of the biggest strengths of ours is our pitching. I think that's what got us to win the back-to-back, you know, the Central Division champion. So I expect to have another great year on our pitching side. So we just got to do the same we've been doing the last couple of years, man. We go out there and compete. You know, we don't care who we're playing. We just go out there and play the game the right way and don't take it for granted. And we're going to have success.
Roberto, we wish you the best of luck. It's great seeing you here. I know you guys are all looking forward to Tribe Fest. The fans are excited to see you guys on Saturday, and we appreciate you stopping backstage here.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Roberto.
Indians catcher Roberto Perez. Fun to catch up with him. Always fun to catch up
Absolutely.
With those Tribe players. That warms me up just thinking of baseball. You know what I mean?
Thinking baseball.
Baseball in Puerto Rico. Yep. That's beautiful right there. All right, quick timeout. Mike Snyder, Nick Cimino here with you. It is Cleveland's News Radio. WTAM 1100. We're at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, Renaissance Cleveland Hotel in downtown Cleveland. We'll be right back.
Your severe weather station is WTAM 1100. We now return backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards from the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the presenters for tonight's Collegiate Athlete of the Year, Julie Coons and Scott Coons. A former Olympian, Julie Coons competed as part of the United States speed skating team in both the 1998 and 2002 Winter Olympics. Scott Coons also competed as a member of the United States speed skating team in the 1998 Olympics in Nagano, Japan.
See you guys.
See you.
So there's a lot of people in this room who can understand what it is, what the pressure is to play for your city. Very few understand what the pressure is to play for your nation. When did that moment become clear to you?
Wow. You know, I think for me it was walking in the opening ceremonies. That's when you look around and you see all of the crowd and the fans and you realize this is really happening. I'm an Olympian and I'm representing the United States of America. This is a big deal.
Scott, we're used to seasons, right? Didn't work out this season. I get next season next year. That's not the Olympic schedule. Give me an idea how you manage trying to peak at the right time, knowing this may be my one opportunity in my life.
Yeah, I think part of it is you just have faith in your coaches and you have faith in the plan, and then you break it down little by little, just like we all do every day. You just take it one day at a time, focus on your daily goal or your micro goal, and just try to move towards the bigger picture. If you have the big picture in perspective, but you work on the little things, it helps you get there.
Well, the goals and the little things are going to help. You present an award here for some of our next sets of athletes. Guys, go to it.
All right. The Collegiate Athletes of the Year awards are presented to both the male and female collegiate athletes or teams who have most distinguished themselves through athletic excellence during the past year or athletic season and are in good academic standing. The finalists for the male award are
Reggie Jagers III, track and field, Kent State University. Travis Tarnowski, football, Ashland University. The University of Mount Union football team. And Denzel Ward, football, The Ohio State University.
And the award goes to Reggie Jagger III, Kent State University.
Hailing from Solon, Ohio, Reggie Jagger III is a five-time All-American, World University Discus Champion, junior Pan-American bronze medalist, and first All-American in the men's discus in Kent State track and field program history. He's a two-time Olympic and U.S. trials contender and currently training at the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, California. And the finalists for the Female Collegiate Athlete of the Year award are Kelsey Bittinger, volleyball, Kent State University. Marissa Rinaldi, track and field, University of Mount Union. Hallie Thome, basketball, University of Michigan.
And the award goes to Hallie Thome.
A chagrin falls native, Thome was named All-Big Ten First Team during the 2016-17 season, Academic All-Big Ten, and Big Ten Player of the Week. She's a former Ms. Ohio Basketball and Gatorade State Player of the Year. Thome was also the third sophomore in University of Michigan program history to reach 1,000 points. Congratulations to both of our award winners this evening.
From the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards at the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel, here are Mike Snyder and Nick Camino on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Yeah, we are going through the evening, and Mike, it's gone fast. We've been having a lot of fun back here backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, and we're happy to be joined by Joey Boffman, who tonight won the Male High School Athlete of the Year Award. And boy, Wadsworth High School, you did a great job, not only on the football field, also on the wrestling mat. Joey, we appreciate you stopping by, and congratulations.
Thank you.
It's this had to be so cool for you tonight to be a part of all this.
Yeah, super cool.
What was it like sitting out there, Joey, and then having your name called? You're out there. There's Joe Thomas, Bernie Kosar, all these pros in the room, and then such a great threesome of finalists, yourself that ended up winning it. What was it like for you out there tonight?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. My heart was beating pretty fast. Leading up to the award and just seeing all those guys that I look up to and stuff like that, it was crazy.
I'm trying to visualize a guy who is doing what he does on the football field and then what he does on the wrestling mat, a two-time state runner-up on the wrestling mat. You're throwing for touchdowns. You're rushing for touchdowns. Is there a sport that you prefer over one, or do you get a lot out of both? Where are you at on that?
Yeah, I love both sports a lot. You know, I have great coaches in both sports, and you know, I try not to lean one way or the other, but you know, ultimately, I think I love football a little more. I'm going to play at Elon University next year, and but yeah, that's it.
Throwing for touchdowns or rushing for touchdowns?
I like spreading the wealth a little bit. I like throwing them.
That's a good answer. I think your teammates at Elon will like that. They'll like that.
Now, how has either sport helped you? Has wrestling helped you at all in football and vice versa?
Oh, for sure, wrestling. Wrestling's definitely helped me throughout football. You know, it's the one-on-one aspect of wrestling, I think, really correlates to the football field. You know, you got a lot of one-on-one matchups going on in the football field, and wrestling's a grind, ultimately, you know. And I think that's really helped me throughout football, keeping my head straight, you know, stuff like that. So,
well, you got to keep your head together as a quarterback, mm-hmm. though, and all of that. What's the toughest thing right now at that position for you, Joey? You've done so well at it, but what's the toughest thing when you're playing quarterback?
Yeah, one of the toughest things I think I had this year was probably like communicating. You know, we were yelling signals, our offense, you know, we were yelling stuff and signaling stuff, all this crazy stuff. I don't even know how to explain it, but I think that was probably most difficult part, relaying the play to the line, the receivers, getting everything ready, you know, knowing what's happening, reading the defense. It's just insane.
There's just so many things going on. The quarterback position, that's why I asked mm-hmm. that. There's just so many things, and it's at the high school level now, like it never yeah. was before, isn't it?
Yeah, not like it was before.
I think when I played, it was like Reddy Hunt.
Yes.
That was all the quarterback needed to know. Joey Boffman, Joey, to win this award in Greater Cleveland, growing up and to be the Greater Cleveland High School Male Athlete of the Year, how cool is that for you?
It's definitely super cool. You know, I never thought that I'd be in this position to start last year. You know, never thought that I'd ever win this award, so super cool cool to me.
If you're just joining us, Joey Boffman was an unbelievable player at Wadsworth High School. He was named the 2017 Ohio Mr. Football. I think of some of the names that have won Ohio Mr. Football. It's not like you're winning the, you know, Arizona or Nebraska. Ohio is like one of the hotbeds for football. Does it hit you as to the company that you are now joining when it comes to Ohio Mr. Football winners?
Yeah, I still don't think it's hit me yet. Looking at those names, like, it's pretty crazy, some of the players that have played, yeah, you know, in the, going on the NFL and stuff. So I don't think it's hit me yet.
Any ideas as to, I mean, Elon is an unbelievable school. I mean, is there any thoughts of what you want to study moving forward?
I'm not sure. No, I'm still undecided.
That's good. Take your time. You got
plenty. Are you going to try to do both in college?
No, definitely just playing football.
Okay.
That's good. Well, you guys have a great program at Wadsworth. You had a great season. Anybody you want to give a shout out to? You're on the radio right now. So anybody, any of the coaches or any of your teammates, anybody you want to think of, parents, whoever else?
Yeah, definitely want to shout out to Coach Todd, my head coach. I definitely wouldn't be here without him. He's really helped me throughout the way. He came in between my sophomore and junior year.
Oh, okay.
So we actually ran a power eye offense the last 20 years. So converting to a spread offense, he really helped me out. It was a tough transition, but we made it work. So big shout out to him.
Yeah, no doubt. That's
I
awesome.
Guess so. You made it work. Well, congratulations, Joey.
Yeah,
thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Joey Boffman, he is the High School Athlete of the Year award winner here at the 18th Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. We wish him the best of luck. And, man, what an athlete, Mike. It's fun to catch up with Joey.
It really is.
A lot of fun. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to News Radio, WTAM 1100. Our backstage coverage continues after this.
News, traffic, weather, sports. WTAM 1100.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage tonight's presenters of the Professional Athlete of the Year Award. It's presented by Fox Sports Ohio, Al Pawlowski, and Jensen Lewis. A multi-award winning broadcaster, Al Pawlowski is currently the host for Indians Live on Fox Sports Time Ohio, the pregame and postgame shows for the Cleveland Indians telecast. A former relief pitcher for the Cleveland Indians from 2007 through 2010, Jensen is currently the co-host and analyst on Indians Live on Fox Sports Time Ohio, alongside Al.
Good to see you.
Before you start, we've been trying to get Al to dress better.
Oh.
Ratings have been good, but we try and improve.
Yeah.
So we're trying to solve the mystery this year. We need to get him up to speed on the old pocket square.
We need a pocket square?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get you hooked up. Well, I promise you.
Just being a good partner, trying to help.
Understood.
Him out.
Right, yeah. Right. A remarkable season in so many ways, but obviously highlighted most by the 22-game win streak. Yeah. Both you guys, your most anxious moment through the streak, because there were a few.
I think once MLB Network started picking up everything we did, you don't think about it when you're on STO or anything. It's like, okay, well, everybody's seen us. Now I'm getting text messages from people in Colorado and family's like, yeah, we took off lunch to watch you guys. It's at 18. What do you feel? So, but I mean, you talk about having the best job, having been able to play for my childhood dream team and see what they've been able to do now. And then, with Al, I mean, it's been pretty darn fun, pal.
Yeah, it's been great. And up to that last game, really, when they won their 22nd in a row, was such a close game down to the very end. And at that moment, I think we both realized this feels like a playoff game. And it seemed every game from about, 15 on seemed like a playoff game. So we felt pretty blessed to be able to be at almost playoff baseball from September on into October.
Al, success is one thing. We know it's not a continuum. But to then build a foundation where you can contend season after season.
Yeah.
What do you think has been the key to that for the Tribe?
Well, a big part of it's been the guy managing the team over here, Terry Francona. No question about that. It's been tremendous. The players believe in him. We can see that. And then, obviously to have pitching like the Indians do. The old saying goes, when you have enough pitching, go out there and get more. And the Indians have been able to do that. So Tito and pitching and I think a pretty good clubhouse where everybody likes each other really makes a difference.
Two pros at what they do, the professional awards. Take it away, guys.
All right. Thanks, Tom. All right. The Professional Athlete of the Year Award presented by Fox Sports Ohio is awarded to the athlete who resides in the 9-county area or is from one of Cleveland's professional sports teams and who has most distinguished him or herself through athletic excellence during the past year or athletic season. The finalists are
LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers. Corey Kluber, Cleveland Indians. Jose Ramirez, Cleveland Indians. And Joe Thomas, Cleveland Browns.
All right.
All right, partner. What do you got?
It's not the Impact Indian winner.
No.
But he has been many times. Corey Kluber.
Ladies and gentlemen, accepting the award on behalf of Corey Kluber, please welcome Cleveland Indians catcher Roberto Perez. Roberto Perez was the battery mate of 2017 American League Cy Young Award winner Corey Kluber. Kluber also compiled a Major League Baseball best 2.25 ERA, 18 wins, and an 8.7 whip while striking out 265 hitters, his fourth straight season with over 200 Ks. Kluber's performance earned him his second American League Cy Young Award, becoming only the Cleveland Indian to ever win the award, honoring the league's best pitcher twice. Please turn your attention to the screens for a special message from the 2017 AL Cy Young winner and Professional Athlete of the Year, Corey Kluber.
Hi, everyone. I'd like to say thank you and how honored I am to be selected Cleveland's 2017 Top Professional Athlete. There are so many great athletes around the city, not just within the Indians clubhouse, but the other teams as well. So I think this is a huge honor for me personally. I'd like to thank Roberto for accepting this award on my behalf tonight. Without the leadership and guidance of our catchers, both Roberto and Jan, I wouldn't be in the position to receive this award. Also, I'd like to thank the rest of my teammates who supported me throughout the entire season. 2017 was a great year for us. It was very exciting. But I think we're all looking forward to bigger and better things in 2018, and we can't wait to get started in a few weeks. Thanks again.
All right, Roberto, so there's a lot of great pitchers with a lot of great arms.
That was a lot of enthusiasm for Kluber to do that. That was like an 8.5.
And maybe guys with more personality, too. I don't know. But Corey's about as good as they come, right?
Wow.
So what differentiates Corey Kluber from just, you know, obviously he's got a good arm, but there's been a lot of guys we talked about with good arms. What makes Corey Kluber that pitcher that can go out there and win two Cy Young Awards and be so good at his craft?
Hi, everybody. I think what makes him so good and so special, I mean, he's so talented. He's so professional on his daily routines. I think he's very consistent. He's the first one getting to the field every day, and he's just trying to get better during his bullpens. Every time he takes the ball, you know, he wanna dominate. Yeah. And it's so fun to catch him. Not especially he command all his pitches, but the way he prepares for every game, day in and day out, that's what makes him so special.
Berto, I know, and maybe you got to hear Tom earlier as he started out, really gripped at our heartstrings about what it means to be a Cleveland fan and have gone through, you know, the trials and tribulations, but nothing probably hits more home than what happened in Puerto Rico, and you're going to get the opportunity now with the team this year to play two games in front of family and friends. I think you're talking about taking out a loan, about 100 tickets to be able to afford that, right?
Yeah, it's going to be something special to play in front of my family and friends back in Puerto Rico. I know Puerto Rico right now went through that hurricane, and it was pretty bad. But I was telling Jensen in backstage that probably the whole week I'm going to play for free because I have over 100 tickets to give out. So, but it's going to be awesome. I think me and Francisco Lindor, we're looking forward to it. We have a lot of family and friends that they cannot pay for the flight to come watch us play in the United States. But it's going to be so special to have them there, and
and come, and they're going to have the opportunity to watch us play in Puerto Rico. So I'm looking forward to it.
Excited to have you back. Excited to see you in Goodyear, bud.
Thank you.
From the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards at the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel, here are Mike Snyder and Nick Camino on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Yeah, Mike, we're still backstage here at the 18th Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel. They do a great job putting on this event. They make it feel big, you know?
It feels big. It's right SPS, in the heart of downtown Cleveland.
Yes.
And it is huge. And we're backstage, and there's all kinds of... They've got their cameras going everywhere. We've got media on one side, and it's just a fun night. All the bright lights are here.
Yeah, it is.
And it's at least 60 degrees.
Gosh, my feet are freezing. But
just teasing. Not joining us. Chilly back here, though. But
I want to feel like we're like in studio at Sports Time Ohio or something like this. We've got the hosts of Indians Live, Al Pawlowski, Jensen Lewis. These guys are seen throughout the season, pregame and postgame shows on the TV home of the Tribe. I found out today, guys, you guys had the top rating of any market in Major League Baseball this year. I got to imagine the team had something to do with that, but you guys do a great job, so we appreciate you stopping by.
Well,
Congratulations. We
appreciate it. Yeah, it's, no, you're right, though. I mean, you guys know it as well as we do. If you have a good team, people want to tune in and watch. A 22-game win streak certainly helped. I mean, we were giving out the Pro Athlete of the Year award tonight, and we were telling Tom Rinaldi, you know, he asked, what was your most nervous moment? And I was telling Al, MLB Network was picking up everything. Yeah. So you got family and friends on the West Coast. They're like, we're watching you right now, man. We can see you. It's like, oh, you don't have STO. I know you don't have that. So, it's great from a fan perspective. We appreciate it. Obviously, it puts food on our table. And we're hoping to defend the title, I guess.
Yeah, we want to keep it going. Now, you know, again, I guess we have to agree. The Indians might have something to do with that.
Just a little.
With watching us. But, yeah, it's great to follow a team. I was talking to Jensen about this and some other people tonight. To be able to follow the team now that I follow growing up, and to be able to, you know, talk to somebody about Len Barker's perfect game. Now, I wasn't there like the other 100,000 that were.
I thought it was 500,000.
It might be by now. But, you know, to remember watching the game on TV, to remember the night, to remember the occasion, to talk to Lenny about it. So, you know, it's fun when we get to do moments like that on Indians Live, historical perspectives, and actually be there and remember things from the night something happened. That's something special that you can only get if you get to cover your hometown team, and we get to do that.
We talked to a lot of the winners here tonight, but, you guys were presenters, as you pointed out, for the Pro Athlete of the Year. Corey Kluber wins that award. You guys saw that up close and personal with what he was able to do, certainly deserving of that.
June 1st, you know, from that start on, and I remember doing the pregame show that day, watching him warm up because our set right there is in center field, and just watching him, you know, it felt like opening day because having played, you see guys that are a little nervous, but he got that first inning out of the way. He just manhandled for what better part of 4 months,
yeah,
you know. And unfortunately, he has the two bad starts in the postseason. That's what people will remember other than the Cy Young. But to be that good, remember, he had to catch Chris Sale, who had an April to remember himself.
Yeah. And a pretty good May.
And got over 300 strikeouts, and Kluber still beat him because of just the amount of quality starts. By the sheer numbers of it, if you go back and look from June 1st through the end of the regular season and you put it up against guys who have won the award, we put it up against his when he won it in 2014, and it was eerily similar how he got on the roll that Tito talks about and never let up. He's incredible to watch.
And such a great worker, too. I mean, here's a guy that just never stops. He's got a great arm. He's got some gifts. There's no question. But he works as hard as anybody. I mean, that guy with fitness, with pitching, yeah, that guy, he really is a robot. He doesn't like to be called a robot, but, I mean, we mean it as a compliment. He is. He's a robot.
Well, we all mean it as a compliment. It was the most dominant pitching. I always go back and growing up, I never recalled anything like Sandy Koufax in just terms of sheer dominance for about 4 or 5 years. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
His numbers were that or even better, and it's too bad it did end the way it did, but he just had a great year. And, Jensen, to your point, and Al, when he came back in June, there was a question mark where we didn't know exactly what was going to happen with him coming up off of that sore back.
Exactly, and give Roberto Perez, who accepted the award on his behalf tonight, and Yan Gomes a lot of credit too, because it is a battery through and through. I mean, yes, Kluber's got to throw the pitches, but a lot of those games too, you look at, were close, and you got to have a guy behind there that's making the adjustments, and the catchers don't get enough credit in these times where, you know, Kluber's, you never know if he's had a bad day because he's the same guy, and that's great. You need that. But those catchers know, and you can see them when they're talking to them and understand, okay, maybe got to guide him through that second or third time a little bit, and they make it look easy. So enjoy what you're seeing right now. It's a luxury to behold, not only Kluber, but the rotation that they've assembled as well.
Talking with two of the presenters from tonight, Jensen Lewis, Al Pawlowski from Sports Time Ohio. It's fun to watch those guys throughout the season. They presented the Pro Athlete of the Year Award. I started looking at the candidates. Okay, LeBron James, Corey Kluber, Jose Ramirez, yeah. Joe Thomas. You really couldn't go wrong who won tonight.
You really could. Any of those four. I mean, you know, and Joe Thomas, it would almost have been like a lifetime achievement for him for what he's meant to the Browns.
It's on ice right here. Whenever they decide to do it, he's in.
He's got that. And Jose Ramirez, what a great year he had at the plate. And, of course, I mean, LeBron James is LeBron James. And right now this season, probably the best all-around season that he's ever had, that we've seen him. So, yeah, you couldn't go wrong. But, man, a guy that wins two Cy Young Awards, this being his second one for Corey Kluber, and he was so dominating from June 1st on, and Jensen talked about that day. And I remember every pregame show we did, we always put the numbers from June 1st, since June 1st, and they kept getting better and better, and the ERA kept going lower and lower. And once it got around, what, one, we're like, well, how much lower can it go?
Yeah, and if you guys remember, there was that grueling month. What was it, August, where we looked up, and you're looking at the opponents that the Indians were going to have to face. We kind of knew then, all right, if they get through this month, and they were torrid, obviously, with the 22-game winning streak, he had to face a big-time competition. And that's after, you think, the law of averages, he'll come back to earth. That's after a good 10, 12 starts, and he just kept going and going. It was incredible to watch.
28 days away from spring training. Oh.
I got to pack up and go to fantasy camp on Saturday after Tribe Fest.
Is your arm going
to
fall off?
I was just going to say, get the oil out.
It's been a while.
Tell you. And Nicola,
you've been retired for a while. The years are starting to pile up here.
You guys will appreciate this because what relievers make now, I've probably gotten to this side of the business a little early. But
look at Rafael Palmeiro might be making a comeback.
You could have bought a few dinners, man, if you'd have,
Oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's my first year. I'm really looking forward to it. But, 28 days tonight. I mean, I'm really looking forward to how Brantley and Kipnis will be able to come back because they've always performed their best when people doubt them. And it'll be a contract year for Brantley. We saw what Santana did in two contract years before he got paid. Brantley's going to have to play well because his future depends on that. Kipnis, same thing, man. That's the one guy. They call him a dirtbag for a reason. You doubt him, he's going to try and punch you in the face, and that's what this lineup really needs.
But you know what might have been the best thing about tonight? Seeing you two guys in sport jackets. I mean,
it's rarely seen, highly effective right here.
See a lot,
the radio guys,
Snyder and Camille.
I love it. Come on. We're not.
I thought you tweeted. The things you tweet from the line on the Evansville, Indianapolis.
That's the Evansville Racers, if you're
whatever. I see that on his tweet.
They were like minus four.
We're together.
And a hook
he hasn't put one thing out all night long.
Kluber was minus 450 out in the to win the award.
You know what? Speaking of odds, and I talked to both of you guys about this on the Hot Stove Show. The fact that the Indians right now, I mean, they would still, no matter what division they're in, no matter who they're playing, they would still be considered an overwhelming favorite to not only win the division, but maybe have as good a chance as anybody to win a World Series. Yeah. I mean, it's not like last year's it. I mean, this team is still set up for this year and the next couple of years to have success for both of you.
I tweeted it out, I think, maybe last week. The 2016 opening day lineup, when the Indians ended up winning or going to the World Series.
Saw that.
They
was
had
that
the
Marlon
likes
Bird?
Marlon Byrd, Juan Uribe, Colin Cowgill, and Jose Ramirez was on the bench.
We need more Cowgill.
Cowgill.
And the only the only
you
two.
You were dying to use that joke.
I was. I used it on the Tribe Report, too. I got a whole week's worth out. I'll never get to use it again. I mean, what are we ever going to talk about Colin Cowgill again?
The only two guys that they acquired were Andrew Miller and Coco Crisp. And obviously the Luke Roy deal doesn't go through. So if you look at how this current roster is constructed compared to what was in 2016, remember, they didn't have Carrasco and Salazar in the playoffs, too. That was the postseason of their lives with Tomlin and Bauer. I'll take what we have right now. And I think to people that are doubting right now, you're playing a division where you're going to play 76, 78 games against three rebuilding teams and one team that played way over their skis in the Minnesota Twins. Yeah. Win 45 to 50 of those, all you got to do is go 500 against the rest of your competition, and you're right near 100 wins. That should get you the number one seed this year again, and then go ahead and let New York and Houston beat up on each other in a division series.
Now, I was telling Mike, Al, that when you look at the situations, we talked about this too, Jensen, when you look at the situations in baseball, we can argue whether Houston's better or not, the Yankees are better or not.
Sure.
Those teams have much tougher divisions to face than
they do. I mean, the East, again, we were talking about this last night on your show. It's always the Yankees. There's always the Red Sox. There's always
the Blue Jays, most years. Tampa Bay or Baltimore are generally a good team, too. There's usually only one bad team over there in the East from year in, year out. But look at the West, too. I mean, Texas, Seattle, the Angels. The Astros have to deal with these teams.
None of those teams are fun to play.
No, they're not. I mean, especially, I mean, we know, Cleveland, we always struggle when we go on the road with those teams. But you look at the Central Division for what you guys have outlined. I mean, this is a division right now where everybody is either just beginning to rebuild or they're about a year in, like the Chicago White Sox. And pitching-wise, there's nobody in this division that comes close to the pitching staff that the Indians have, both as a starting rotation and out of the bullpen.
And really, the core of that starting rotation is all together. That's the good news, I think. Even though you got a little loss, you got to give Shaw some credit.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Sure. You miss that.
You're going to miss some
but
guys.
Overall, though, you didn't lose anyone you didn't expect maybe to lose.
Sure, yeah.
Were there any real surprises?
That's the biggest thing, I think, for people that, hey, I call April overreaction month, because if people come in and see Yonder Alonso hitting 210, then, you know, you'll hear all of what the excuses are and, oh, well, we should have signed Bruce. It's a marathon for a reason.
I'm cringing, you know, hearing the extra innings callers that are calling in about Alonso.
Remind him of Carlos Santana, because he always struggled in April, always struggled in May,
Edwin
picked it
too,
up in the
right?
second half of the season.
Encarnacion.
And if you look at Santana's numbers in a non-contract year, not as good. So, again, love what those guys did for us. I think everyone is going to miss Shaw once they finally understand what he was able to do, being able to throw every other day. But this is a great club. You've got two perennial MVP candidates in Lindor and Ramirez. Edwin is going to have good lineup protection again this year. And I'll tell you what, if they need to trade from an area of depth, they have young, controllable starting pitching, which every ball club wants. They have position guys that, whether it's Urshela or Yandy Diaz, if they want to go that way. Francisco Mejia is on the horizon. If you want to trade one of, God help our soul here, we just had Roberto next to us. But it is a business. If there's a great deal that can get them a piece that puts them over the top, and Gomes is having a great offensive year, this is where the Indians farm system and this front office deserves a ton of credit. Now they can deal from an area of strength and not worry about spending the dollars in free agency.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with this. Machado and Donaldson in the AL East are both playing in contract years. Okay? Now, we can probably do an extra beer money episode or 100, and I can, you know, put up some money if we need
to
pay
for, on Sports Time Ohio,
pay
right?
for them. For, you know, but again, this front office has shown they'll go make a move if they need to, and they have the pieces to be able to do that.
And no one is irreplaceable. Yeah, you would like to have Bruce, and you would like to have Santana, but again, you've got guys behind them now. As we talked about the other day, Zimmer's ready to play every day. You just signed Chisenhall again. Brantley's ready to go in left field, or should be at some point in April. Well, there's your three starting outfielders. Then you got a kid named Greg Allen knocking at the door, too, trying to find playing time. So it's not like, well, geez, who's going to play the outfield here? You've got guys in the system that can do it.
It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. Great to see you. It was fun seeing you present. That had to be cool for you guys to be out.
Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah, we're excited to do it again if they offer it. So,
we're going to
be number one
of
the ratings again.
We haven't heard anything.
When Al's up for his Lifetime Achievement Award in about 10 years, then I'll be happy to do the honors.
30.
For that.
Guys, thanks so much.
You got it.
Thank
you.
All right, we're still going here backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. Al Pawlowski, Jensen Lewis. You can watch him throughout the season on Fox Sports Ohio. They handed out the Pro Athlete of the Year Award. That goes to Corey Kluber. Mike. And we had a chance to catch up with Roberto Perez, who accepted that on his honor. That's perfect. The battery mate, right?
There you go. And as Jensen put it, those catchers are a big part of all that success.
No doubt about it. All right, keep things locked right here. It is News Radio, WTAM 1100. It is also the free iHeartRadio app. We'll be right back.
WTAM 1100. News at the top of the hour and 30 minutes past. We now return backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards from the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel.
Let's welcome back to the stage our esteemed host, Tom Rinaldi.
Everybody holding up okay? This is a very special part of the night here, guys. This is perhaps the most special award that we give. The Cleveland Clinic Sports Health Courage Award, which is given to an athlete who shows courage well beyond the boundaries of the playing field or the court
or the rink. We know that sports often can be a lens for competitive courage, but it's the courage that this year's winner has shown and continues to show which makes him especially deserving of this award. Let's see his story.
Samer is an amazing young man.
He has very strong personality. He takes care of the whole family, me, his sister, his brother.
He's just a good brother in general. He likes making jokes.
He's brave. He's really smart. He's awesome. I love him.
So Samer is not your typical 17-year-old. He's very mature. He's very just positive. He lifts everybody up.
He was a kid that we looked upon as a leader in the classroom, in the hallway, and certainly on the football field. He was one of our captains. He's just a fierce competitor, a kid that hated to lose. You really want him around the other kids. He's a great example for our team to keep competing, keep battling, keep fighting.
Samer just has this positive attitude that you don't always see in children and families, and adolescents especially.
You should always look at the good that happens, you know, the good that comes out of even the most negative of situations. I think everyone should be grateful for what they have, and I'm certainly grateful for what I have.
In the spring last year during weightlifting, he was kept complaining that he had some issues with just some jaw pain.
Something was pushing on the bones and the muscles, and it was just really sore.
For Samer to complain, you know something's wrong. The trainer and I just kept talking about, hey, make sure you go get something checked out.
So I took him to the dentist. She said there's nothing wrong.
They had kind of just brushed him off, saying that he should get a mouth guard, that he's grinding his teeth. So when he still had the pain, he went to another physician and,
you know, was put on a course of antibiotics for what was thought to be an infection, which was causing this lump on the right side of his neck and face. And, you know, 3-week course of the antibiotics didn't help, and this lump was only getting bigger.
Then, you know, one night it got so bad that I had to go to an emergency room, and that's when they did a scan and saw something was up, and I had to go down to the Cleveland Clinic.
Initially, his diagnosis was very difficult, and our pathologists, who are amazing, were able to come up with his correct diagnosis, which was what we call alveolar rhabdomyosarcoma, which is a very rare solid tumor that occurs in children and adolescents.
I really did not believe it. I told the doctors it might be a mistake. They said no.
What he's sick with, it's scary.
I was really confused, and I was really concerned, obviously, but eventually you need to realize that you need to step up a little bit and take charge. The Cleveland Clinic has been amazing. I think they deserve all the credit in the world, and they're not thanked enough.
His treatment is vigorous. He underwent 6 cycles of aggressive chemotherapy. He also has received high-dose radiation to his primary site of his tumor, which occurred over a 6-week period, and we saw that he had an excellent response, which is amazing.
You know, I lost my hair, I lost a lot of weight, I lost a lot of muscle and all that, but you know, I don't throw up all the time. I'm not in a bad mood all the time. I'm able to come to school, and you know, I think that's pretty good.
If you didn't know Samer had cancer, you would never know. He's just always so positive. He comes in here and he is determined to beat this, and he will, because he has the most motivating, inspiring attitude I've ever met.
Samer gave me courage.
What courage means to me is doing the unthinkable and being strong.
It means standing up to something and facing it full on. And Samer certainly does that every day.
You know, football will teach you that you need to be the one to take charge, and that you need to do your job, whatever that may be. Sometimes you're going to have a goal, and that goal is the end zone, but you're not going to throw a Hail Mary and get into the end zone. It's got to be 2 yards at a time. You know, you get tackled, but you get back up, and you just keep going until you reach the end zone.
We usually vote for captains. And in the offseason, as coaches, before Samer was diagnosed, we had him pegged as one of our top 4 or 5 kids that we said, he's got to be in consideration. And after everything happened, we did a normal vote, and he was still voted to be a captain by the kids.
So it's like this year he didn't play, but he was still on the sidelines playing and cheering and supporting his teammates.
Doesn't want to be a distraction for the kids. He didn't want to be anything other than there for them. You know, I think that's the true definition of courage, you know, giving up some things that you might want for yourself and being there for your teammates. You know, I know he was in pain a lot of Friday nights.
Every single day that he comes in here and he walks through our doors, I mean, I think that is courageous of him, that he's coming and he's determined.
our future looks great, you know. I think I've improved as a person, you know, the last 6-7 months more than any time in my life. If I can do some great things now, then I can do some really great things in the future.
Let's bring Sammer up to the stage. Sammer.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the recipient of this year's Cleveland Clinic Sports Health Courage Award, Sammer Babby.
What did that moment mean to you?
Hi. I don't know what to say. That was amazing. I mean, yeah, thanks.
Sammer, we see you profiled. We hear what everyone has said about you and your positive attitude. Where does your strength come from in a fight like this?
You know, I think it's the people who surround me. I'm surrounded by excellent people. My doctors, my nurses, my girlfriend, my family. They're all amazing people, and I wouldn't ask for anything better.
I see you're surrounded by this table right here, and I don't think I'd be out of bounds if I asked you to ask this group that gave you that ovation to share that ovation for that family at that table right there.
Absolutely. Please, please.
What have they been through with you, shoulder to shoulder, moment to moment through this, Sammer?
They've been through everything that I've been through. You know, there's not a day that goes by where I feel that I'm alone. It's always, you know, I know that I've got people backing me up. I know I've got people holding me up. You know, I've got incredible people.
We learn a lot of times through tests and trials in our lives, the ones that we would never wish for. What have you learned about yourself through this fight, Sammer?
You know, I think the most important thing that I learned about myself is that I always want to improve. I thought it during, you know, football, you know, throughout my life, you know, typically you want someone who always improves. But I think I really found that out when, you know, all of this hit me and my primary concern was still getting better, you know, becoming a better person, doing what I can to make the world better.
You wanted to be present with your team through this season, be a presence for them, on the sideline, be around them. Why?
Well, they were present for me when I needed someone. So, you know, and I worked since seventh grade to be their leader and, you know, to take charge with them and lead them out on the field. And, you know, I wasn't able to do that in the way that I wanted, but I'll do that any way I can.
I think I could speak for everybody here by saying you led them in a way that, believe me, they followed. I guarantee you that. Is there anything else you want to share with everybody?
You know, I would like to thank the oncology team. They're right here. Dozens of doctors and nurses who put in hundreds of hours. You know, they don't stop fighting to save lives. And they're not thanked enough for what they do. And they really should. I think everyone here should think about supporting them, donating to organizations whose goal it is to fight cancer. You know, Alex's Lemonade Stand, there are countless organizations out there that you can help and do your part. And I would also like to thank my coach Marty Simon, who passed away a week before my diagnosis after his fight with cancer. I'd like to thank him for teaching me to never take the easy road, to never complain, to never ask why. I know he's watching down on me, and I certainly hope I made him proud.
I know I could say this with the assurance of 1,300 strong in this room. These two things. Everybody will try to take a little piece of your spirit with them and give that back a thousandfold to you as you continue your fight. And believe me, everyone who's heard you, sees you, and knows you could not be more proud of you. Sammer.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
From the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards at the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel, here are Mike Snyder and Nick Camino on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Still going strong here at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards alongside Mike Snyder, as you heard, Nick Camino here. And Mike, I'm just telling you, every time we get a new guest and every time we get a new award that goes by, it's amazing that it's another year here. Great pro representation, and with our next guest that's going to join us, we've had great amateur representation, just top to bottom an awesome event tonight.
Well, it really has been and it continues to be, and it really is our pleasure to have our Courage Award winner with us tonight, Sammer Babby from North Olmsted. Sammer, thank you for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Well, yeah, how cool was this for you being a part of this tonight and just seeing all this?
It was amazing. You know, so many incredible athletes here that are being recognized, and I'm just in shock when I saw all the people.
And here you are, Sammer. I mean, you're all in the same group tonight. You're all one team. You're with Joe Thomas. You're with Corey Kluber. You're with the high school athletes, Joey Boffman, who won it. You're all in that group tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get to represent athletics, I feel, and I think athletics should be a big part of every kid's life, and it changes it for the better, and I'm glad to be able to kind of spearhead that idea.
What did this, you know, in leading up to it, when you found out about this, what kind of went through your mind, and what's kind of been your thought process leading up to a night like tonight that was so special?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, could you explain further?
Just, you know, like leading up to this, you know, when you knew that this was going to be a night where you were going to get the Courage Award, what did this all mean to you kind of in the lead up to it?
Well, you know, I try and I strive every day to, you know, live my best life and change the world for the better. Like I've said many times before, that's kind of what I try to do in my situation, as everyone should in every situation. And to be recognized for that, I've just been honored. You know, so many people want to talk to me. So many people want to hear what I have to say. It's incredible.
Sammer, your story is incredible. We're all pulling for you and thinking about you. You've tried, as you said, you've told your story. What do you say to other people now as you fight this right now?
My message to everyone, people have noticed and they've told me this, and of course I've noticed because, you know, it's what I try to get across, is always improve and, you know, don't stagnate no matter what the circumstances. Don't complain. Don't ask why. Just do what you have to do.
And you really, as the captain of the football team, you were the guy that kind of kept everybody up, didn't you?
I tried my best, always.
And that's tough in any football season, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It really is. When you look around you tonight, Zdrunas Ilgauskas, I don't know how many of the people you got a chance to talk to, but Z is a great story. There's some great, inspiring stories that are in this room tonight, aren't there?
Absolutely, for sure, yes.
And, you know, just looking at a night like this, Mike, where we get a chance to talk with a great, you know, amateur athlete, a story in and of itself. And we've talked to some pro athletes tonight, and as Mike said, it's like you guys are all one group tonight, and it's like you're being put into the same award banquet ceremony. There's the people that are celebrating, not only the pro athletes, the local collegiate athletes, the high school athletes. I just, as we sit here and you reflect on it all, I wonder how someone like you, who's been a part of this tonight, comes away from a night like this where, you know, not only are Cleveland sports honored, but young men like yourself are honored.
Well, what you said about us all being a team here, you know, whether it be professional athletes and amateur athletes, you're right about us all being on the same team. You know, we were all at one point little, you know, young kids who just loved the game, and to this day are people who love the game. So, you know, it doesn't matter whether you get paid for it or not. You're here for the same reason. And what I took away from tonight was a lot of people do appreciate what myself and what many other people do. And I think sports do have a place to be appreciated because they do many great things for many people, and they change lives, like I said.
Yeah. Well, you've inspired and changed lives, and we continue. We're so pleasure to meet you tonight, Sammer, and we wish you all the best going forward. Congratulations on your honor tonight.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor.
And thank you so much. All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue along here at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. Got a chance to talk with the Courage Award winner, Sammer Babby, who is just a great story. And like you said, so many athletes that have come through tonight, whether it's collegiate, high school, pro. They're all great stories, and they all come together tonight for a special evening. It's been a pleasure to be a part of. We'll be right back. Nick Camino, Mike Snyder, backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, Renaissance Cleveland Hotel, downtown Cleveland. It's News Radio, WTAM 1100.
We now return backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards from the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the presenters of tonight's Lifetime Achievement Award, presented by Cuyahoga Community College, Austin Carr and Campy Russell. Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr, provides color commentary for the Cavaliers television broadcast on Fox Sports Ohio. Carr was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2011 Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. Russell, a former All-Star forward for the Cleveland Cavaliers, serves as a co-host for the Cavaliers pre- and post-game shows on Fox Sports Ohio.
Okay, guys, I know there's just really not much to talk about regarding the Cavs these days.
Yeah, everything is just smooth.
Everything is just perfect sailing right now. Couldn't be better. Hey, see, let me start with something that's related to this night. You have received an extraordinary piece of recognition from this body and this community. Mm-hmm. Tell us why Cleveland lives inside you.
And you gonna start wanting me to cry again? Well,
and he will.
You know, basically, because you know, make a long story short, a lot of people have asked me that question around the country as we go, and the one thing that I tell them is that the people I know here is either they like you or they hate you. You know where you stand here. There's no middle ground. So, and I love that. Because now I know who I am and who I am. So, and on top of that, when my kids leave the house, I want them to come back close to what I sent out there. And in this community, you can count on that. And that, to me, is worth it's worth what it is, gold.
Campy, every season for every team is a journey.
Yes.
How would you describe the journey from opening night to right now for the Cavs?
It's almost
I'm glad
like being,
you got that question.
Yeah. It's almost like being out at Cedar Point on one of those wild rides, you know, that, you know, we started off, you know, struggling, and then we kind of put it together and played very good basketball, and now we're back into that little ditch, as I call it. But I believe in this basketball team, and I believe in the fact that they will come out of it. I believe this is still one of the best basketball teams in our league, and it's just a matter of how they're going to approach this going forward in terms of coming out every single night and putting out a great effort every single time.
I know a season can feel like a lifetime. Our Lifetime Achievement Award presenters. Guys, take
all
it
right,
away.
Thank you. It is my honor tonight to introduce the Lifetime Achievement Award presented by Cuyahoga Community College. The Lifetime Achievement Award is given to the person who, through his or her personal career dedication and achievements, has advanced sports in Cleveland.
Please direct your attention to the video screen as we honor the recipient of this year's Lifetime Achievement Award, presented by Cuyahoga Community College, Sojournus Ilgauskas.
A jersey that hangs from the rafters by itself is really just a piece of clothing. More important is the story of the man who wore it. This story begins in Kaunas, Lithuania, with a young boy by the name of Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Like the rest of the country, basketball was his religion. Despite what his height as a kid would suggest, Zydrunas grew to be one of Lithuania's top players. By the time he was in high school, he began playing professionally. And in 1994, on a United States tour, played the University of Kentucky.
We're watching some Kentucky film, and they were playing the Lithuanian team, and I noticed this big guy on the Lithuanian team was pretty good. I liked his footwork and his shooting touch and his ability to score around the basket. I said to our scouts, I says, well, the best player I've seen in this film so far is that big tall guy on the Lithuanian team, who happened to be
Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
A wealth of promise accompanied the 7'3" center, but so did risk.
We weren't quite sure how serious the injuries were, but it was worth the risk at the 20th in the draft.
With the 20th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Zydrunas Ilgauskas from Lithuania.
Just like that, General Manager Wayne Embry of the Cleveland Cavaliers surprised the NBA world. He chose two international big men in the first round, Ukrainian Vitaly Potapenko with the 12th pick and Ilgauskas with the 20th.
That year he was drafted with Vitaly, but Vitaly was like very outgoing and gregarious and like easy to be friendly with, whereas Zydrunas is a little bit more staid, like a little bit more reserved. So I never really knew what to make of him.
Soon, Zydrunas would find out what to make of himself. Just a few short months later, he broke a bone in his right foot, sidelining him before ever playing a game.
That's really how we became, you know, as close of friends, because he wasn't traveling with the team.
We didn't know that he'd ever play. A lot of what he went through was unprecedented.
Foot problems and surgeries cost Ilgauskas two of his first four seasons and all but five games of a third. The only bright spot, a 1998 All-Rookie First Team selection and Rookie Game Most Valuable Player Award. Eventually, Ilgauskas opted for radical reconstruction on his left foot.
He's relentless. He decides something and he goes at it. So not that he didn't have his moments, but it seemed like he's like, okay, you know, this is what lays in front of me and I'm going about it.
Wow, mark it down on your calendar. Big Z makes his 2001 debut with a long-awaited return to the court.
The following season, Ilgauskas returned to rookie form, averaging 17.2 points and 7.6 rebounds a game. Despite a losing record, he was just grateful for the opportunity to play.
Sometimes you would lose a game by 20, 25, and obviously you'd be upset, but still kind of deep down, I was, every time I walked off the court, it was a little victory for myself.
Following his All-Star selection in 2003 and the drafting of LeBron James, Ilgauskas' victories only grew.
Fine look from LeBron James.
I felt that with LeBron right away, that Z was the one guy that in his mind, no matter how big LeBron felt or he was or how big he got, Zydrunas would always be a notch above him, and he would always respect him as a Cleveland sports icon.
The culture that we wanted to build, LeBron was still a very young player, and having a veteran leadership, but also an example of, you know, the persistence that we talk about and the, you know, process and professionalism that Zydrunas brought every day, I think was really important for the whole organization.
Zydrunas' persistence paid off. In 2005, Z garnered a second All-Star selection, and in 2007, with LeBron by his side, led Cleveland to its first ever trip to the NBA Finals. Professionally, it was a defining moment for Zydrunas. Personally, his defining moment had already begun.
So when NBA Cares was going to Lithuania and they were asking the players that were involved, like, what are some of your, like, personal, you know, projects there? It was pretty easy to say.
While growing up, Zydrunas would frequently visit an orphanage in his hometown of Kaunas with his father. With each visit, they would bring food and different kinds of clothing for the kids. In 2006, the NBA sponsored a trip back to that very same orphanage. It included conducting a basketball clinic and helping refurbish the orphanage. A short time later, A letter written by a man named Tim Brown made its way to Jennifer Ilgauskas.
It was just a thank you letter of, you know, I adopted two girls from this orphanage and, you know, we're so grateful of everything that you've done and we just want to say thank you.
As fate would have it, that letter resurfaced a few years later, just when the Ilgauskases needed it most.
We were very much considering adoption and I remembered that letter. So I sent an email to Tim Brown and I'm like, you know, is it all, would you be at all willing to share your story? And so, and he's like, my wife will call you in 10 minutes.
That phone call laid the foundation for the adoption of two brothers, Davidus and Povilus, from the very orphanage that Zadrunas had spent so much time enriching. He was now not only Zadrunas, the NBA player, but Tavali, Lithuanian for dad. In the years that followed, Zadrunas continued to etch his name into the Cavalier record books, setting the all-time team record for rebounding in 2008 and the all-time games played record in 2009, surpassing former teammate and general manager Danny Ferry.
Should now enjoy as Big Z comes in and is the all-time Cavalier games played record.
Z spent his final campaign with the Miami Heat.
The last year that he was in Miami, you could just tell things had changed for him and, you know, his physical, your emotional, you know, willingness to put yourself through that every day starts to wane. And so he retired. He went in and said, you know, that he was done. And then he and I, you're kind of looking at each other like, so now what?
After a short stint as a special assistant to the Cavs general manager, Zadrunas took a well-deserved hiatus.
So for, I would probably say 6 months to a year, a little bit of golf, a little bit of barbecue in the backyard, a lot of beer. But then eventually you do want something. And he looked outside of basketball, but that's what he knows, that's what he loves. So he's like, how do I get myself involved without having all those sacrifices?
With the help of some mutual friends, an opportunity presented itself at Cleveland St. Ignatius High School.
We met, had a great conversation. You know, I offered an opportunity for Z to come down as many days as per week as he'd like, kind of thinking he'd come one or two. Lo and behold, he's in the gym before I am. Lo and behold, he's in here every single day. What Z brings to the table is a true sense of giving back. He's not getting paid to come down here. He comes down because he loves these kids. And I think the kids pick up on that and know that. And I don't think they see enough of that in the world. He's a guy that the kids can look up to.
And in more ways than one, on March 28th, 2014, the young man from Lithuania put his final touch on the Cavaliers franchise.
Please welcome to center court, the big man in the middle, number 11, Z.
It was really emotional. And I remember the boys just sitting there and they're like, are they all here for Tavali? Like, yeah, they're here for Tavali.
Zadrunas Ilgauskas' legacy was forever enshrined in the rafters that night, closing perhaps the biggest chapter of his professional life. But make no mistake, his story is still being written.
For me, it almost brings tears in my eyes because here's a guy that lives and dies Cleveland.
Every city has their culture or their flavor. Coming from Lithuania to Cleveland, while it's miles apart, there is this underlying something that is familiar.
When you look at Z and you look at his career, it's almost like he comes off as an underdog, especially for Cleveland, Ohio. He exemplifies the type of people that live there. Throughout the basketball part, Zadrunas Ilgauskas is such a, he may get mad at me for saying this, but he's such a sweet human being.
I don't know if it's that Lithuanian culture thing, but when you scratch the hard surface, it's pretty mushy in the inside.
He's better than the salt of the earth when it comes to people. I can't even explain how much I enjoy being around him.
Ladies and gentlemen, the recipient of this year's Lifetime Achievement Award, presented by Cuyahoga Community College, Cleveland Cavaliers legend, Zadrunas Ilgauskas.
Kong.
Thank you. Wow, this is huge. I had written something down. It was like 3 pages on the paper, and by now everybody is so tired, so and want to go home. It's a school night. I think I'll keep it short. You know, want to thank the commission obviously for this incredible honor. It's unbelievable. You know, only 42 years old and you're getting already lifetime achievement. It's really either really good or really bad. Really good because it is 42 and you're getting kind of early. Really bad, they don't think that you'll do anything after this, so let's just give this. You know, first of all, I want to thank my wife, Jen. She's in the crowd. You know, without her, you know, I wouldn't be here. She's my best friend. We've been through a lot together. My boys, David and St. Paulus, they here. I mean, you know, I want to thank them for making me a better dad and making me realize sometimes that I have more patience than I imagine that I have. All my friends that are here and that are not here, there are two gentlemen here, Rick and Gary, that from the Cavs medical staff, that they were with me, them and Stan Kellers, who's not here, they were with me every day for 2 years, and they took my anger, they took my frustration, and they never gave up. They put me over the finish line, so thank you guys. I want to thank Mr. Gund, who was with me this whole time and owned the Cavs when I got drafted, and he was just really instrumental to my career. I'll never forget, it was time, I think it was in 2001 or 2002, it was a couple of years before we drafted LeBron, and I was sitting on a couch resting after practice, and the phone rang at home, and Jen picked it up, and I can see her face kind of got serious, and she handed me the phone. She goes, "It's Gordon." And I picked up the phone, and after exchanging a few pleasantries, he's like, "Look, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a trade on the table. We can send you to Detroit," which Detroit at that time had a really good team, and they were going for the championships. He goes, "We can send you to Detroit." He goes, "Where I know you work so hard, you want to win, and we're not that good here, and God knows if we ever will be and when we'll be." And he goes, "You know, you deserve it for your, with all your trouble." He goes, "But I won't do this trade unless you tell me to do it." He goes, "It's up to you. I don't want to trade you, but I don't want to deny you this opportunity." And he said, "I'll give you 1 hour and I'll call you back." So. And then once he called me back in 1 hour, I thought about it, and you know, I decided to stay and see this thing through. And it's amazing, you know, how many team owners would do that for you. I want to thank my mom and my sister. They're not here. I wish they were here, but, you know, my sister basically never saw me growing up. I was always traveling, playing basketball. My mom, you know, we lived in modest life back in Soviet Union. My mom made sure our apartment was warm, I had food, and my clothes were clean. And that was enough. That was pretty good life. My dad, he passed away 2 years ago from cancer. I miss him a lot. Without him, I really wouldn't be here. The year I got hurt and I was doing rehab in Lithuania, I mean, we went every day to the gym and I would shoot 500 shots every day sitting on a chair, and he would run around all sweaty in night air conditioning gym and just get the ball back, and then, you know, I would go lift weights, and he would actually lift weights, he would hand them to me. And then and you know, now having kids myself, I realized that there were some days when he probably didn't want to do it and he didn't feel like doing it, but once I got dressed and took my crutches, there he was waiting with his car keys. And then I wanna thank all my teammates, all my coaches, too many to name over the years. You know, they made me who I was. They pushed me through it. They helped me when I was down. We had some good times, that's for sure. I wanna thank people of Cleveland. You know, I didn't stay here because of the weather. I didn't stay here because, although the food is good and gotten a lot better since 96, but I'm not much into nightlife, but I didn't stay because of that. I stayed because of you guys, because of people. You know, you guys make this city what it is. So, being not born here and not raised here, you should all feel really proud being from Cleveland. This is a great city, and you guys make a great community. So, thank you again, and drive home safely when you go. Thanks.
What a night. What a night.
From the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards at the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel, here are Mike Snyder and Nick Camino on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Still backstage and still going strong here at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. 18th year, Mike. I can't believe it. Our next guest, Joe Thomas, with the Cleveland Browns, feels like he's been here for 18 years as we get started here. And Joe, we appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
How was this for you? I mean, you got to present the award with Bernie Kosar. Obviously, you're very familiar with him, but you got to award the high school and the male and female high school athlete of the year award. How cool was that for you?
That was really awesome. I've been a huge fan of high school sports even before I was playing my own high school sports, and to meet those kids and see them do this for the love of the game and the passion they have, to be able to talk to them backstage, it's always a highlight of my year.
We've talked about this night, and I think it starts with the Browns, the Indians, and the Cavaliers, the pro sports franchises being able to do this. But having those collegiate athletes, those high school athletes, that's kind of, I think, what makes this such a unique night, is that everybody can kind of shine on this evening.
Yeah, I think the involvement from the pro sports teams is really kind of gives it that foundation. But really the stars of tonight are your high school, your college, your amateur athletes that are, like I mentioned, they're just doing it for the love of the game. And they're just as excited to see you as you are to see them and meet them and talk with them and congratulate them.
Joe, you look great. I think an offensive lineman, you're styling tonight, Joe.
Well, I appreciate it. I had to pull the mothballs out of the suit, out of the closet. I'm not going to lie, I was pretty nervous. I didn't know if it was still going to be there or if I was going to be wearing flip-flops and shorts.
Oh, you look great. Joe, you are a fixture here. You know, we've been talking to Drunas Ilgauskas, Lifetime Achievement Award. You're like that in this community as you've represented your family, the Browns, here so well. Everyone's pulling for you. I know we all felt so bad when you were injured, and I know you've been asked probably 100 times tonight, but how are you doing? How is the arm coming and shoulder coming along?
Doing good. I actually had a doctor's appointment yesterday with Dr. Voos from the University Hospitals, who did my surgery, and he gave me the thumbs up to kind of accelerate my rehab a little bit and kind of take it to the next level. So I'm really excited about that. I've been sort of chomping at the bit to really work on that rehab pretty hard, but with a tendon injury, you got to really take your time and kind of take it slow.
I heard that you said that it was just unbelievable pain. Is that
true? It hurts. I mean, I don't want to get into the hyperbole too much, but it did feel like if you hit your funny bone really, really hard, like the hardest ever, but all the way up your arm. Oof. And I think the queasiness in your stomach was just that you didn't have function. You just couldn't move that arm. Was a weird feeling I was not okay with.
It's amazing. It's played so many consecutive snaps. You know, when we saw that happen, I wasn't at the game. I saw it on TV. it really hit everybody like, wow, this has to be serious for you when it, that moment had happened. You had to know right away, right?
Yeah, it was interesting as we led up to the 10,000th snap. You know, everyone knew it was coming. And I had these weird dreams at night, like, what happens if 9999, you're laying there and you can't move? What do? Do you try to, like, hobble back to the huddle or just let you lay on the ground and snap it one more time with a QB sneak? So I'm very happy that this happened after 10,000 and I didn't have to make that margin decision on do I just try to kill myself for one more play?
Gosh almighty.
And that's Joe, it's incredible what you've done out there, snap after snap after snap, and with the brutalness of football, and you've been able to do that. Is there a point you're on your rehab? You've not decided, or have you decided what your plan is for next year?
Not yet. Still working on that decision. Still kind of going through the motions. I think it's a decision that reminds me a lot of when I decided where to go to school. You know, it's one of those things you just can't rush because you have to be fully committed one way or the other. And until you're fully committed, it's best not to just tell anybody, oh, I'm leaning this way or that way, or you really got to be fully committed because an NFL season is so brutal on your body and your mind. You really have to be ready to do that. But at the same time, you got to be fully ready to retire, because I've never been wanting to be one of those guys like the Brett Favre's who, I'm retired, I'm unretired, I'm coming back, I'm done.
Seen that a couple times.
Yeah, I want to be done when I'm done. And if I'm in, I want to be all the way in.
Joe, can you give us an inside look as a, from a player's point of view? How tough was this this whole season, the last 2 years on the guys? Are you able to put into words? Because I think some people, we get critical. I take calls on the radio from people that are so disappointed in how things have looked. I mean, can you give a testament to how important this has been for the guys to get this turned around and how difficult it has been on guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal. I think if this team was filled with older guys, there would have been a mutiny and a meltdown. I mean, I think as a rookie, you don't really know any better. You know, you're just kind of going through the season, and it hurts, and it's awful when you put in the work you do and then lose every Sunday, and then to hear it from the fans and your family, and you can't escape it. And then you see just the devastation in everybody's faces in the locker room. If this was an older team, that would just be so devastating, because a lot of those guys would have been able to experience success in the NFL and the sweetness that is the nectar of winning an NFL game. But because they're rookies, they didn't know any better, and I think the team was able to kind of hold it together and make it through the rest of the season playing hard and giving their effort. But I know that we don't ever want to feel those emotions ever again.
Yeah, it's tough on everybody, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I
mean, look what happened, Joe.
But you go to the next year, and you've been an optimistic guy. And what is kind of the vibe you have? Some new people in the front office, a new direction we're kind of feeling, or at least the way that they're going about it in terms of some good Green Bay guys that have come into the building.
Yeah, they're Wisconsin guys, so they can't be too
That's
bad.
That's right.
No, I'm really excited. I think, obviously, people know John Dorsey and his track record. There was a reason that Jimmy Haslam and D. Haslam hired him so quickly. They knew he was the guy. I mean, everywhere he's been phenomenal. There's nobody's going to say a bad word about him in the NFL. So if you're looking for a guy who's a great talent evaluator, we found him. And then I look at the position that we're in, and I'm thinking, geez, there's no team in NFL history that's been so primed for a huge run of success. The first pick, the fourth pick, multiple picks in the second, third, fourth round, and then $100 million in salary cap space next year. That's ridiculous. When I was a rookie, the salary cap for the whole team wasn't $100 million. If you could get a Hall of Fame player for $25 million a year, which is essentially what Kirk Cousins is going to command. I'm not saying he's Hall of Fame, but all the quarterbacks in the NFL you can get for about $25 million. You could buy four of those guys on this team and still have space to sign a running back. I mean, it's outrageous the amount of money we have. And I know with Jimmy and D, they're tired of waiting for next year. They're tired of saving salary cap space and those assets for somebody else's regime. They're saying, let's turn this thing around now, because they know they feel the pain of 0-16. And I'm so excited about next year. I mean, people laugh at me, but I'm like, we're a Super Bowl contender next year. We really are.
The cool thing about you, too, is I think you've begun to start thinking about eventually life after football. You've got the podcast going right now, and you've done some – I know you've done some TV stuff here and there. How cool has that all been for you? And it seems like you enjoy it.
It's been a lot of fun. I think the podcast stuff is something that I've really loved because you can just talk about whatever you want to talk about.
say whatever you want.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. I mean, there's no filter at all. So you can just tell crazy stories that you would never tell on a TV show or anything else. And having Andrew Hawkins as a co-host has been a lot of fun because we've had so many great conversations in the locker room through the years. And the whole idea for the podcast was, Andrew, what we're talking about is interesting and we're having a lot of good laughs and it's funny. Let's give NFL fans and sports fans an opportunity to just be a fly on the wall in the locker room and listen to us talk and just go at it for an hour and then wait another week and do it again. So I think we've succeeded so far. I think that's why people have enjoyed the podcast and it's been as highly rated as it has been already. I mean, I think we were number two on the iTunes sports list right off the bat. So it's been a lot of fun.
This this type of business, whether it's TV, radio, podcasting, is that something that interests you down the road?
It does. I mean, I have a huge passion for sports. I have a huge passion for football. I feel like you spend 11 years of your life plus doing one thing and getting really good at it. You've got unique knowledge and a unique insight that people are going to want to hear about. And I really enjoy the radio side of things. I think sometimes when you have to do a 30-second clip on TV and it's whoever can yell into the camera the loudest gets the most time. I'm not as big into that stuff. I much more enjoy kind of this setting where you really get to just kind of air your thoughts, and you're allowed to be nuanced.
Yes. So we won't see you on, like, Monday Night Countdown with those guys.
I mean, you never know. I wouldn't say never, but it's definitely not as much fun as it is sitting down with you guys or sitting down with Hawk on the Tomahawk podcast and just shooting the breeze.
Well, listen, Joe, we really appreciate you stopping by. Cleveland loves you. You've just, as Mike said at the beginning of all this, you've been Cleveland through and through. People love you, and it was really cool to have you a part of this tonight.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, Mike, we'll take a quick timeout. We are still backstage here at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, downtown Cleveland. We'll take a quick timeout. It's News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Traffic and weather on the 10s, weekday mornings and afternoons.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Mr. Kobe Altman.
Hey.
Kobe Altman joined the Cavaliers front office in 2012 and was a part of the 2016 NBA championship team as director of pro personnel before being named general manager in July.
You gotta go easy on me, man. I'm from Brooklyn, man.
So I thought long and hard about the most precise, incisive question I could come up with, and ultimately I decided on something simple, Kobe. Man, what's going on?
So I'm going to preempt your question about the trade deadline. Okay, I have breaking news for everyone in here. Where's Big Z? Big Z's coming out of retirement. He said the only stipulation, he can't travel as much, so he can do home games only. And that's my big announcement. But to be honest with you, I got the fortune to work with Big Z for 1 year. And obviously, you guys got to see him as the player, but I got to work with him every day. And he's just an incredible human being. And so I was very fortunate to work with you for a year, Z, and congratulations, man. It's a minimum contract.
Kobe, I think everyone who loves your team and invests in it and bleeds and cheers for you would want to know, from your perspective, you're the only one in that office, the only one in that position. What are the challenges you're facing right now, and what is one way to solve them?
It's a good question. I mean, what's hard is we're trying to bring together a bunch of new guys, highly talented guys, superstars in their own right, make that mesh. Not an easy thing to do, but I think we're up for the challenge. I'm really excited for the season, sort of the second half of the season, post-All-Star when some guys like to turn it on, and I'm excited.
I'm sure a lot of people in this room share your excitement. We'll look forward to a lot of moments, but you're going to celebrate here the biggest moment. Take it away.
That's right. So I guess this is the last award of the evening, which is great for some people trying to get out of here. It marks the seventh year this award has been recognized as the best moment in Cleveland sports from 2017. Through online voting, the public had the opportunity to submit their nominations. So let's turn our attention to the screens and relive together the 2017 best moment of the year presented by Jack Cleveland Casino.
With that RBI double.
Yeah.
Drills another one to deep right field. Holt won't get it. Short hops the fence. Ramirez scores. Yandy into second base with another double. His fourth straight hit in the game.
Sale is sort of defeated.
He's got to be thinking, what is it every time I face this team?
The Indians and the Royals opening up a three-game weekend series. Ryan Merritt back up to make the start tonight.
Up the middle, and Jose Ramirez with a phenomenal diving catch. Swung on and missed. The 0-2. Struck him out looking. Boy, Ryan Merritt. What a gem he has fired here tonight.
And out into center field, and again, Zimmer racing toward the track and makes an unbelievable catch. Is the fifth time this year that the Cleveland Indians have shut out the Kansas City Royals. That smash deep left. It is there! A home run! Hit the pole! A three-run check for Santana. And the Indians complete the sweep.
Their third consecutive shutout for the first time since 1956. Oh, Edwin just destroyed a ball to deep left field and gone.
But he hits him there, no doubt.
The Indians sweep the Yankees here in New York for the first time since 1989. Joe Smith has been summoned from the Cleveland bullpen to try and pull this game out of the fire for the Tribe. Line drive caught by Lindor, and that's the ball game. Joe Smith, his first save since coming back to the Indians, and a nail biter in the first of the doubleheader. Roberto Perez has just added to the Indians' lead. He's driven in three on the night. And they have swept back-to-back doubleheaders on the road. That thing was bouncing around up there.
He was
on the top of the fence.
It hit the yellow line, and then he pushed it over.
Well, that is really bizarre.
Did he do it again?
That is Presley at the wall. He's out of room, and it stays in the ballpark. No, it's a home run. The umpire signals, circle the bases.
Yeah, well, it hit his glove, and then it went up and over
it
the
sure
fence.
Did.
The outfielders are giving a little help for his two home runs.
Still going back. He won't make the play. And into second base with his fifth extra base hit of the game is Jose Ramirez. Swung on and missed. And the Indians have equaled the franchise record with their 14th consecutive win. Oh, Rick Allen, goodbye!
He doesn't need AAA, just bring him right to the big leagues.
They have a new franchise record, 15 consecutive wins. He blasts one to deep center field. And once again, the Indians score first. Mike Clevenger with his third consecutive scoreless outing.
And a fly ball hit a long way to left field. It's gone. Launches it to deep right field. 18 in a row.
We are looking at a Cleveland Indians team without a weakness right now.
Slow chopper to third. Urshela will flip to first. It's in the bag, and the Indians have won their 20th consecutive game. They have tied Oakland for the American League record. It is gone to Souvenir City.
He's gone. Diving
umpire Shelley gets him, throws to second for an incredible force out. It's over! 21 in a row! The Cleveland Indians have set a new record for the longest win streak in American League history.
Down to your last out. You've got the right guy in the right spot.
Bottom of the ninth, 2-2 pitch, swung on, line drive, deep left field. Back goes Gordon. He's at the wall. He leaps. He can't make the catch! The Indians have tied it in the bottom of the ninth. And Ramirez is going for two. Here's the throw. He is set. Unbelievable hustle. Rick to right. Down the line. Fair ball. It's a walk-off for number 22.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Cleveland Indians manager, Terry Francona.
I'll put it down. It's very
thank
happy.
You, Kobe. Wow, that's heavy.
It is.
First, I'd like to thank the Cleveland Sports Commission for honoring not just our streak and our team, but for honoring Corey Kluber tonight. Am I the only person that thought Kluber looked like he got pulled over for a DUI? Congratulations to all the award winners. This is such a special place, special event. Anybody that's been around me for 5 minutes knows how thrilled I am to be here with this city, this organization, and these people. I love it here. We want to win here so desperately bad that if it makes you feel any better, The sting of losing to the Yankees in 28 days, I guarantee you, we're coming back with a vengeance, and we're going to get ready. So on that note, I promise I'll be the quickest speaker. Drive safe. Thank you, and we'll see you again in spring training.
Thank you. We just celebrated a special moment, obviously, with a very special man. On every table, you'll see a card was placed in an envelope. This is going to be one special moment for one table. This is our Jack Cleveland Casino best moment. I have the envelope. I will open it up. If your table is three of diamonds. Let's see that table. Three of diamonds. Where are we? Hey, in the balcony. Boys in the cheap seats. We'll have folks coming up, and you'll give you your gift packs and your prize packs. Congratulations, guys. Three of diamonds. One final time, if we would. For all those who were nominated, for all those who won tonight, one more round of applause, if we would. Inches, inches, inches. I hope it's a great season to come across all sports here in Cleveland. Thanks for being here tonight. We appreciate you guys. Drive home safe. Thank you.
We now return backstage at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards from the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel. Once again, Mike Snyder and Nick Camino on WTAM 1100.
Well, Mike, we've reached that time, and it's flown by because we've had so much fun backstage here at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. And now joining us, the CEO and president of the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, David Gilbert. David, it's great to see you. Every year we see you at this time, and you look excited. I know you were busy, but, man, what a night.
we were just talking, it is so incredibly energizing, and it just it makes you feel good about Cleveland. And you hear all the remarks from, you know, Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Francona and so many others, and the way they talk about Cleveland, it's not about on the court, on the field, it's about this city, and there is something special here, win or lose, that there is such a connection between our sports and our city. It's really amazing.
The thing I love about it, David, too, is you get such great cooperation from the pro sports teams, the Browns, the Indians, the Cavaliers, but man, in talking to some of them and some of the players, we talked with Joe Thomas a little bit ago, it's so much about the collegiate athletes, too, the young high school athletes. We had the Courage Award, I mean, and it was all about Z, too, tonight. But it seems like while you get a lot of cooperation from the pro sports teams, they make it a lot about the young sports and the young kids that we have here in Northeast Ohio. We're so blessed to have.
Yeah, I think that's part of the magic of the event that, you know, when we created it, didn't, you know, you don't know what you know down the road, but you know the biggest standing ovation every year is the Courage Award. It's not, I mean, the greatest moment is wonderful, and we all loved the streak this year, but seeing that young boy up there, I mean, that's what life's about, and it is cool to see the crowd reacting that way, and how much, like you said, the professional athletes here, everybody look up to, they look up to the high school, and it's really something very special.
That is so fun to see them interacting. We were watching Joe Thomas having a ball with the high school kids, and and then as you mentioned, we had a chance to talk to Sammer, and that just inspires the entire room, doesn't
we it's funny, we've had years, you know, obviously there's a lot to celebrate this year. While we didn't win a championship, you know, in this year we're, you know, Cavs were in the championship, Tribe had an incredible year, even though they didn't, you know, make it that far in the postseason. But even in years past when we've had all three teams having lousy seasons, it's still a fun night.
Yes.
Because there's other things to celebrate. It could be past successes. It could be the high school, collegiate, amateur athletes. And you know, it really is amazing, 18 years, that you know, something this special for Cleveland has kept moving.
Yeah, David, you found a way there. I was telling Nick, there's been a few years where the greatest sports moment was what?
There are no doubt about it.
We
dig deep.
We had to dig deep. That's right. David, the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission, always exciting events. Also events that from fencing, you've done so many things, and you just keep on doing it. And really, March is going to be huge again, isn't it? Here?
Yeah. This NCAA wrestling, we have Division III championship, and then the following week, the big one, Division I. There's a lot of big NCAA championships people know about with, obviously, basketball and the Frozen Four and hockey. Wrestling for a city to host is bigger than all of them, because
wow,
not only, it will sell out every seat in the queue. I mean, there and but 19,000 of those 20,000 seats will be from out of towners. It is this cult following, and I'm not a wrestling guy, but I've been a couple times now to see it as we've been preparing. It's crazy. People just do not leave their seats. There's action going on the whole time. You have people in the top seat in the upper deck. They're not leaving their seat, and it's pretty cool to watch. It's this city. You're going to feel it that it's here.
Yeah, and Northeast Ohio is actually rich in wrestling tradition. You think about St. Edward, some of the great programs here.
Yes.
in Ohio. So to have the NCAAs here, that is a big event, and I'm glad you said that, because I think people, I actually come from a wrestling background, Dave, so it's a big deal that it's coming to Cleveland. Now, you guys have done such a great job of getting an event like that here.
Well, thanks. I don't think we've ever had such excitement. You know, people calling us, wanting to be a part of us, offering ideas, suggestions, how to make it great. And that's our goal, is how do we make it so good that the NCAA has to give it to us the next time they bid. And that for us is, it's all about not only getting the events here, but making sure they're better in Cleveland than anywhere else, so they keep coming back.
You guys did an awesome job tonight. We love being here backstage. Yeah. And David, I know that you always tell us that going into year 19 now, that planning's already going to begin soon, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll we'll be wrapping up on this in the next few weeks. And you know, there's a lot of things. You know, like MC is a good example. People don't know their schedules a year out, so there, you know, there's a little bit of a time frame. You know, most of it's in the last 6 months or so. But you know, you stay on a high for this for a little while. And I love how you guys also, when listening to the station, how you use stuff from this for weeks. It's cool that you have so many different. that there's so many people here and there's so much content, it makes us feel good that you guys get so much out of it.
We're glad you had us again, and best of luck moving forward. We're excited for everything you guys have ahead.
Thank you. Well, hopefully next year again.
Thanks, David.
David Gilbert, President and CEO of the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission. And Mike, that's going to do it for our coverage from backstage here at the Renaissance Cleveland Hotel downtown. What a night, Mike.
What a night. It's a spectacular night, and I think, as David said, let's just kind of savor this one for a little while before we get to next year.
We have so many people to thank tonight. Mike Snyder, Carmen Angelo has helped us from our news department, and all the guys here who have helped us, and the people from the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission just did an awesome job. And special thanks to Mats, our producer back there. That's going to do it from the 18th Greater Cleveland Sports Awards, our coverage backstage here. Everybody else, have a great rest of your night. Have a great rest of your week, and stay safe out there.
No,
Gerard.
No,
that incredible stare.
This for the Cleveland right now. I thought you landed this for the Cleveland. This for the city. That was for the city. That was for the city.
What a night! What a night!
Thanks for being a part of it. So long, everybody from downtown Cleveland.
WTAM 1100.